You've done for me, Lord, is not in vain.
God, redeemed and in Christ, oh God, quickened and raised up, oh God, in the heavenly places to take this great position. Hallelujah! Oh God, in this Ephesians at the end of the age, blessed be your wonderful name. Oh, how we love you so. We want you to know it this morning. that what you've done for us is not in vain, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how we love him. So you love him this morning? Let us use the cause he came to me when I could not come. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing with love and gratitude and appreciation in your heart this morning. Oh, my. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving. You're in the building here, but now enter through those gates. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He himself is that gate, friends. He's open up this word, the seventh seal, to bring you back into perfect fellowship with him again. Into a perfect worship in this hour. That you can sing, amen. You can express the Redeemer who has been redeemed. Who's been sprinkled by the blood that speaketh better things this morning. Oh my. What a great love this was. What condescension. God, the great eternal spirit, changing his form. Jehovah of the old becoming Jesus. The Redeemer, the Savior, the Lamb of God. Coming to slay the enmity. Tear in the middle of a partition. Bring reconciliation, establish peace, and restore fellowship. And place back all his divine favor upon us. That's why he died. He prayed, Father, give me one that I died. You are one. Oh, thank you, Lord. And I could. Because there was a veil there. But he tore that veil in two. From the top to the bottom. To give man access. By you are living way. To his blood. To get come again one more time. He came to me. Oh, and you come right to that new and living way this morning. Come to his blood. Come in boldness before the throne of grace. And you might obtain mercy and find grace to help. Seasonable help, whatever you have need of today. Could not come. Oh, now we have his merits. The merits of our all-sufficient sacrifice. Hallelujah. Coming in his name, coming by virtue of the victory he won. Hallelujah!
Why he died.
Oh, how we thank you for that, Lord. On Calvary.
And I could not come to where he was. He came.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he came to you? Aren't you glad he remembered you? That while he was on the cross, he was on his mind. Aren't you happy for that this morning? Is that real in your heart? Has the quickening power quickened you and brought you that realization, my friend? Hallelujah! When he took the sins of himself in his day and he opened up that mystery of the Lamb's Book of Life and showed you your name and what part of the world you are, that you are considering the plan of redemption, does that bring joy into your heart to know that you are one? Hallelujah! He left the 99! Hallelujah! He took his turn in the sect of a shepherd's staff, come looking for you, and now he has found you. Call you by your very own name in this hour. Glory be to God. Take the amnesia away and bring you to know that you were there with him before the foundation of the world. He made a way to bring you back to become the very one again. Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Every head bow, all of them are building in respect to his great mighty presence. The great shepherd of the sheepfold who appeared in these last days with the Lamb's Book of Life open in his hand to gather the sheep in this hour. Oh, man, there might be one shepherd and one fold. Glory be to God, the family in heaven and earth. Name after the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant laid on his life, friends. Hallelujah. To make this possible this morning. Believe Him as you come into His house, into His presence. Knowing that He's faithful. You couldn't come except He draw you. He desired for you to be here today. That's why you are here. And take the privilege. Take the opportunity. Embrace it this morning. Capitalize upon it. That you can receive. Because He thought of you being here. You see, but I is the one who took and made a plan. He put it in your mind. He made it possible for you to be here, friends. Raise a little heart in your own thought. And see God's divine purpose and God's will. Oh, you're going to be a million places other than this place this morning. And that's the grace of Almighty God. Gracious Father, with bowed hearts, standing with the realization that we are in your divine presence. And oh God, to know that this privilege was blood bought. The very blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The brand new and living way we could come and stand before the great throne of grace. And the voice of this blood that speaks grace and pardon. Seven voices of the blood that speak at better things. Oh God, this delight of this glorious gospel shining into our hearts. And giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face, in the very presence of Jesus Christ. To know that God, when we stand here, we stand in the very merits of that blood. We stand in the all-sufficiency of your finished work. And dear God, by virtue of the life of that blood that has come back to claim everyone that the blood was shed for, we can present our token with our prayer this morning. And we can ask with faith, believing in the almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the things that the blood purchase, as the quickening power quicken and make real to us what to ask for. See, giving us discernment to see our needs. To understand the time that we are in. To see what you require of us at this present hour. How we should go, Father, looking back and reviewing how you have brought us and where we are standing. And where you are taking us, oh God, that we can come in the rhythm of your word, under the influence of your Holy Spirit, and knowing, oh God, that you stand here to give of every good and perfect gift, and in you there is no variableness or shadow of turning, that great is your faithfulness, that you desire to give to us all that we have need of, but you provide the way that we should ask for it. By faith, O God, and you who said you shall supply every need according to your riches in glory will respond to that very prayer and give the answer. I pray, dear God, that the quickening power, the Holy Spirit, Lord, will quicken the hearts and minds of your children. Lord, that they can perceive this great grace that is overshadowing them right now. That they will be sensitive, that they are in your presence. And this privilege is theirs. May you grant it, O God. And may faith, Lord God, that brought us to the power, that very power produced the promise. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, dear God, for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we can see the hope of our calling and the exceeding greatness of your riches towards us who believe. We thank you, dear God, that you have caused us, Lord, to walk out of darkness and to walk in this marvelous light and to have the fellowship of the mystery. Lord, I pray that from the greatest to the least, as they would present the prayer before you, as they would make the request known before you, as they would hold a token with unwavering faith this morning, as a child of Abraham, as a seed of the promise, O God. Father, believing, O God, that they have received what they asked for. Lord, when you've seen that faith in their heart, God, that you will respond to it and you will supply that need in the name of Jesus Christ. Not just here where we stand, but all around, oh God, the Caribbean, Father, in Tobago and in Grenada and in St. Vincent, Lord, in Dominica and St. Kitts and St. Lucia, where your children is gathered this morning, Lord, under this very influence, oh God, in union and harmony with us, oh God, Father God, because they are part of this call of group in this hour being made ready, and I pray that the word of the living God will would move in their midst today, Father, and you would provide and you'd supply their every need. You would give faith to believe, and not just to believe, but to believe that they have received, and the courage to walk in it and see it be made actual in the experience. Grant it, Lord. Bless us all together, and not only us, Lord, but your children around the world, throughout this island and wherever they might be, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you do the exceedingly abundantly in this late hour. Oh God, when your children are striving, Lord, for their mastery, help them to strive lawfully, that their faith will take a grip upon it, oh God, that they can run for the prize. Hallelujah, that they might win Christ. Grant it, Lord. Let everyone's faith be so focused. And may the word that you've given today, may through the grace of the Holy Spirit, it be ministered with such unction and power, comfort with such clarity, may be so directed into the very needy places in the lives of your children, and may create an atmosphere of faith round about, Lord God, each and every one of them that is gathered here today. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do the exceedingly abundantly. Oh God, that you will pour out your great blessings, Lord, in every way and in every form that it is needed and being pulled for through the faith in the souls of your believing children this morning. Would you do it, Father? Oh God, we come sincerely. We ask all these things in the lovely and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give all glory and thanks and praise. Amen and amen. Could we lift our hands and say, praise the Lord. Amen. His mercies endure it forever. God bless you. Certainly happy to be in his presence and be with you. And what a tremendous time we have Friday. And amen. It just shows God, you know, the simplicity. You can speak so simple sometimes, but realize how profound the word is, even though it's so simple, that it's not just like an admonition, but it's a revelation that moves your heart and enlightens your understanding to walk and appreciate God in all that he has promised, in the way he has presented himself to us through the opening of the word in these last days. I'd like to invite your attention to Psalms 105 and Matthew 23. I would like to continue my series that I've been in since August, and Joseph, and we just can't seem to come out of it. And what a way, you know, it just keeps going in different ways. I think last time I was here with you preaching on that series there, I was on Joseph's Manasseh and his Ephraim. God had made me to forget all the toil of my father's house. God had made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Amen. Have you forgotten all the pressures, all the arches, all that wounded you? Amen. God have lifted you far above those things. Amen. No longer carry no remorse. No longer have no seeds of roots of bitterness. You broke through them hindrances. Amen. You're sailing now. There's no limit to your speed by the grace of God. Amen. The things that would oppress so many, God give you a revelation. Undergird you, stabilize you, lift you up. Amen. In the land of your affliction, you realize all things work together for good. Instead of your frown, you begin to praise God for it. And it make you fruitful by the grace of God. Amen. Every Joseph have a Manasseh and a Ephraim. Manasseh first and then Ephraim after. You have to forget those things first. Amen. And then you come into fruitfulness. Glory be to God. You know what? Nothing to strangle and paralyze that potential, that hidden resource that God put in you to make you fruitful. Amen. What a great thing. Psalms 105. Coming back to this, but in a different way this morning. Verse 16. David speaking the Psalms here, but reading the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 50. He had it under consideration because that's the whole mystery of the perfection, the seventh seal. Amen. The book of Genesis closes with Joseph's life. It opens with Adam, the seventh seal back in Eden, closes with Joseph, the seventh seal back there. This seed book of the Bible, Genesis. Psalms 105 verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. Look how God now is doing something. And what was the famine? That was the thing that started to bring the brothers into Joseph's presence. Is that right? That's right. The famine began to break down their man-made security. The famine made them realize how vulnerable they were. The famine threatened their survival. And it pushed them out to go where the corn was. And to go find where Joseph was. Is that right? They didn't know yet. But that was the meeting time. They were coming to realization where the great unveiling, the climax, the I am Joseph. Amen. Where he was going to be unveiled. And that's the seventh trumpet, which is our seventh seal. How Christ will make himself known to the elected 144,000. Amen. It's parallel. We are having ours now. They are going to have theirs under the sixth seal. Glory. He called for a famine upon the land. That's what the famine did. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. It was in the famine Joseph became the savior. He was sent before that he might save. But look what it takes for the savior before he could manifest the salvation that he is designed and predestined to bring. Look how the chosen vessel has to be prepared before he could do that good work. Fit for the master's use, prepared unto the good work, which was the saving. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. So right here in verse 16, he picks up chapter 42, that's the famine time. Verse 17, he picks up the rejection time, chapter 39, when he was being sold into slavery. Verse 18, he picks up chapter 40 and 41, that's the prison time, when his feet was in fetters. Until the time that his word came. Amen. And that's when Pharaoh sent for him. A mystery in symbol form that they couldn't interpret. But it's a prophetic gift in a man becoming a prisoner in a place of confinement, in chains. Though, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. He was tested and tried before the promise. The king sent and loosed him and bind him, release him. Take him out of the prison because the prison sentence had run its full course. And what it was designed and intended to serve had been accomplished. And now it was time no more to be a prisoner. The caterpillar was going to come out of the cocoon. He's going to come forth there now in all his glory now. Amen. He's going to come into a new ministry now. Is that right? It was a change in time now. It was the time that he had long seen and preached about. Glory. The king sent to him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house. From the man who was sold as a servant and whose feet they hurt with fetters in iron, look how low they came down into the very dungeon in the underground. In the word in the Hebrew there is a hole, a pit in the ground. That dungeon wasn't just, they put him down in it and he went so low down, but look how high he was going to be exalted. From his humiliation he was going to be exalted. But he was obedient and took the form of a servant. But now the Father was going to raise him up so high, far above, and give him a new name. Zaphnath-Paneah. How? That sounds to me like something Jesus did. Glory! A middle ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes of his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. For a man whose feet was in fetters of iron, now he came to bind princes of the land. And now he came to teach senators wisdom. Oh my, glory be to God. Then for a man whose feet was in fetters, became a ruler of all the king's substance. John 14, 12, and Mark 11, 20, you know, Mark 16, John 15, 7, all the king's substance. Amen. Glory. Matthew 23. I want to take my thought this morning, Joseph's descension and ascension. He who descended is the same also who ascended on high and receive a new name. Amen. I believe it is the hour the bride has been exalted to such honor and glory and power. Amen. A perfect church. Acts even the half of the kingdom. Whatever you say, Queen Esther. Amen. You speak it. She hath thus said the Lord. Satan is powerless before her. What she bind is bound, what she loose is loose. She's anointed with agape. She's put on the bond of perfection. Glory. Matthew 23, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That word is slave. Joseph was sold for a servant, sold for a slave. From a slave to ruler. See? He that is great among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. 1 Peter 5. Jesus teaching there. When he saw man trying to lift up themselves. Man trying to be Lord over the brethren. And man trying to, you know, want place of authority without humiliation and submission. And obedience. The head just full of nonsense. And Jesus didn't only preach it, he came down and washed the feet. Is that right? First Peter 5, verse 5. Talking about the appearing of the great shepherd in the last days and the elders. Not to take, not to be lords of a God heritage. That Nicolaitanism that is going to be so predominant in the last days when the chief shepherd appears. Man over man. Man want to control man. Man shopping, man system. But we want prisoners bound with the chains. Likewise, you younger, verse 5, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea. All of you be subject one to another. For he said, you elders, don't take lordship. You serve. You be a servant. Then he says, you younger, you submit yourself to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God resisted the proud and God giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humiliation and exaltation. To descend and come low, that you might be raised up high. Except the corn had fallen on the ground and die. Come down to humiliation. The secret of life is through death. You know that. Except the corn had died, it will abide alone. That's the problem today. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Praise his wonderful name. The Lord bless you. Know his word. Joseph's dissension and ascension. Just everyone feel welcome in his presence, and everyone is ready for the word. Are you ready for the word?
Yeah.
Amen. Last week I was speaking on Joseph's love and faith and forgiveness. And how in this hour, putting on agape, the capstone upon the pyramid of our lives. Amen. How Joseph, you know, he dealt with his brothers in such a way and manifested such great forgiveness after all the persecution that they persecuted him. Now I want to look a little bit as his dissension, and not so much Joseph coming down, but God who had ordained to raise him up. Before God could raise him up, God had to bring him down. And if you are part of the bride, you are predestinated and ordained to be lifted so high beyond any believer of any age. You come into the greatest position that there has ever been given to mortals, which has been given to a little elected group in these last days. That these who will not see death, all the others saw death and had to go by the way of the grave. But these who will be alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. She who would be victory and the reason of his death. She who would come to such perfection and such power and such oneness that should be life of his life, spirit of his spirit, word of his word, acts of his acts, power of his power. She would be him revealed, that there will be such power in her, she will draw the sleeping ones, amen, and bring them back here. But before we can come to this place, this great masterpiece that could speak, he says this great perfect faith, this great perfect love in the last days, are people who is called and predestinated to come to perfect faith, perfect love, to have such a perfect understanding in the mystery of God. They have the very mind that was in Christ Jesus. The same mind in the edge of the mind, when the great secret in the back part of God's heart is put into the mind of the bride. What thing that angels, nobody ever knew, has come down and put in the heart of the bride in this hour. You don't want your heart to be filled with nonsense and pride and ambition, friends? Look what privilege you have, that the very mind that was in Christ, that very little place, that little vacuum in there, a little compartment, where God ordained for his throne to be established. Amen. Where he can rule your life from the throne in your heart. Where he can speak from his throne in your heart. And out of the abundance in your heart, your mouth speak it. And you can speak as the learner. You can give a word in due season. Hallelujah. You can become the final voice of the final age. You can become his very mouthpiece on the earth today. Because you have confounded the denominations, they are no longer his mouthpiece. But the Spirit and the bride says the same thing that the prophet says. And what the prophet says was already said in the Bible. But she becomes that final voice. All of this is a prophecy. All of this is God's plan. All of this God purposed in himself. All of this is the way that God purposed in his heart that he will wind up this great plan of redemption, that he will finish it. And if God, by his omniscience, his all-knowing, his all-wisdom, can think of something so great to finish up his plan, to show his great achievement, then he has all power. He's also omnipotent. That's why the Bible says, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It means he's omniscient and he's omnipotent. By his omniscience, he planned it, and by his omnipotence, he has the power to bring what he planned to pass. And nobody could hinder his plan. And no matter how wrong it looks, he makes all things work together for good and for his own glory. It's impossible for him to fail. His word is creative. The word that leaves his mouth could never return unto him void. Aren't you glad to serve a God like that this morning? Not some historical God, the living God. And while you are becoming that, he is walking with you step by step, day by day. And the Holy Spirit, the inside teacher, is teaching you what your experience is. Is teaching you why you're going through that. He's showing you patterns in the Bible and saying, look, you like Rahab, you have to go through that. You have to display a token in the hour of judgment. You like Sarah, you might have some unbelief. But that has to be taken out to you so you might judge me faithful because the promise has to come to you. You like Esther, you might be a little old orphan, but I'm going to raise you up so high that you can speak in the half my kingdom. Glory be to God in the highest. And so you see, when he makes demands on your life, it's not unreasonable. Amen. Because he shows you your end before you start. He always does that. He tells Abraham, get out of your country. I'll give you a land. I'll give you a son. I'll give you a great nation. I'll do all these things for you. Is that right? He tells Peter, you come, leave your nets. I'll make you fish for men. Amen. He showed them the things that Paul, you stop persecution. I'll make you a light to the Gentiles. You may have to suffer many things for my name's sake, but you are chosen vessel to be my name. Is that right? And he showed them the things. He always said Malachi 4:5 will come and he will turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. He will have the ministry of Luke 17:30, the Son of Man being revealed in the Son of Man. Is that right? He will have to be formed in the image of the Word to bring that ministry back into its full manifestation. And you'll have to go through trials and testings that will be proven. Amen. You have to be chipped and molded to become that. So he can become one with that Word, and that Word can reflect perfectly to him. That God can say, "This is my beloved Son. Oh my." And he can say, "Father, I do those things always that please you." What a great thing, friends. And so it's a joy for the believer while they're walking in this to know, look what God planned. All these years I'm being taught from the scripture, from the message, what God has purposed, what age we are in, how he's going to bring it to pass, even bring it down from an age level to a church level to an individual level, even your own personal lives. You can fellowship with the mystery of your life represented in shadows that hold the mystery of you and God's purpose for you. Amen? And sometimes when God now has to take you down and break you and bring you low, you don't get discouraged. And people laugh at you. And they criticize you. This is the way they talk about. Here come the past. You fail. Amen. And they scorn you. Then what's happening? No, it's God. Say, God doing his work. Because that's his principle. Let me get a scripture quickly. I'm making a jump here. I would like to read this first. Turn me to Philippians 2. Listen with his back running. Quickly. While I have your attention here. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Paul was speaking about all lowliness of mind and, you know, how we should be as believers. Let it be consolation, Christ and so on, comfort of love, fellowship with the Spirit, and so on, how we should have the same love and be in one mind, and let not be done to, you know, vainglory and strife and so on. And now verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And more for you. Come in the form of God. Man Christ Jesus, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This great condescension of God, he's bringing us into view. This is what Brother Bam used to preach, the unveiling of God. To show how this great anomaly, how God was changing his form, the great God who is so mysterious, so difficult to understand. When they come down to walk with the cobbler and the farmer and the peasant and sit and talk with them. Amen. And the shepherd and the fisherman. God stretched the tent of his humanity and he condescended. Oh my, like he did in these last days. Down from his glory, the Lord himself shall descend. Ever living story. Another mighty angel come down. I am come down. Amen. For deliverance. Glory. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. With all his power, they spit on him. And he said, "I forgive you." With all these things, he said, "I do nothing except the Father first show me." And there was nothing for pride, nothing for competition, nothing for strife, nothing to kind of pulled on people so he could project himself. No, it was obedient to the will of the Father. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. He was preaching, he was opening this. He humbled himself. He was born in a stable. Is that right? He had to borrow a boat to fish in. Had to borrow a grave. Said the fox have a hole in the bosom, but the Son of Man no place to lay his head. He comes so low down, see? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which is a cruel, shameful death, painful death, humiliating death. But he despised the shame and he endured the cross, the Bible says in Hebrews. And he looked at the joy that was set before him. And while he was dying, they were taunting him. If you're the Messiah, come from the cross. Ridiculing him. Look at the deceiver. He's trying to save others, and he can't even save his own self. See that? But watch. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. As we did in Joseph just now. Became lowly. But what was God doing? That was God's plan, and that was God's provided way to bring salvation to the world. In Joseph's time, Joseph was the Savior. We took that a couple of weeks ago. Joseph the Savior. You see, God only have one way to save. God only have one method by which salvation can come. And no matter which way God show it, it's that way every time. Whether it's Noah, whether it's Moses, whether it's Joseph, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Paul, whether it's Brother Abraham, it's one way that God has. That's right. And that's why just each one just opens up and unfolds and magnifies before your eyes the great plan that God has revealed to us in Jesus Christ. But look at it first. This great God, who had all his glory, seraphims and cherubims, had to put wings over the face and worship him. That same God made himself of no reputation. That same God come down and took a robe of flesh, born in a stinking stable. When you could have planned the greatest birth and the most beautiful place. But God wants to show he is revealed in humility. He wants to show man who don't know him and who had gotten so far when come Sadducees and Pharisees and condemning everyone. So look at drinking and eating with sinners. And look at them over here. Look at man in washing hand. Look at this one here. Look at that man in prayer. I ain't like that man. He's a publican. And the man making the long, long, long prayers and these things. See? He had to come that way to pull a church that had driven the darkness and had made the word of God of no effect. With all the commandments of man and all the vain worship. He said, vain do this worship me. You have your father, the devil, and everything else. Because it had gone so far away from the truth. So when God started the new creation, which is the beginning of the new creation, it started in a manger. From a womb of a little peasant girl in the lowest city, Nazareth, and then down in a filthy old stable in Bethlehem. And then the message came to the most humble, a herdsman, ignorant and learned shepherds. Is that right? What is God doing? He's tearing up man wisdom. He's tearing up man pomp and man glamour and man education, man civilization. And he's throwing it all at one side. He's taking the weak things, the things that are base, like nothing, to confound the things that are mighty. And Paul now, this great prophet messenger of the first age, he's looking now and he's showing the principle that Jesus himself taught. Humility first. Humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. From the pit, from the prison, look where he became ruler. From a slave in chains of iron, he became clothed with vestures of fine linen, a golden chain on his neck, and the signet ring of the king, and he's coming that second chariot. Is that right? From chains and fetters in a dungeon. Watch. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And how many know when he came out and he got that new name in that place, they had to bow the knee when he was coming. They had to blow the trumpet. Is that right? And that every tongue in heaven and things in the earth and things under it, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. Help me real quick if we can get through this little reading here, because I could have just quoted, but I want to read it to put it on the tape, because you know, decent God in the Caribbean here, all the churches here, and then you know, you're sitting down here, we have a lot of new ones that I don't want to just preach way too high for them, and they're not acquainted even with some of these scriptures. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Paul again here is looking at his ascension. How God highly exalted him. How God raised him up. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? First, what's the order? He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So before he could ascend so high, far above heavens, that he might fill all things, far above all principality and power, far above where you see my name, above all names, where we need at the bow, he first had become obedient unto death and death of the cross, even go down to the lower parts of the earth, go so low down, even down to hell itself. Is that right? Took the keys from Satan. Death and hell. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. And Paul is showing now, Jesus descended so low that he might ascend. And the plan of him ascending now is giving gifts to bring his church, which is so low down now, to raise it up where it ought to be, where he is. Amen? That we can have a very body like his own glorious body. Is that what the Bible says? All that he is. And that, is that what's happening in this hour? Is there a fivefold ministry in this hour? Is there a message in this hour? And rapture in faith is in this message? And didn't know there's some thunder shows how to be prepared for this translation faith? Is that right? And could these seven thunders be a mystery that would open up in the church to bring a power back in the church, that these vile, old, mad bodies could be changed? Could it be, my brethren, that we'll be changed faster than those angels came? Sirs, this is the sign of the end. So watch. Watch the end now. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Is there a bride in this hour? Sons and daughters of God, growing up into the form and image of the word. Coming up to a perfect man, the stature of a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, growing up into Christ who is the head, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what a beautiful thing it is. How God here is showing so beautifully this great thing in Philippians and Ephesians. Also in Ephesians 1, I left out there. But to bring that before, to show you the principle that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Took the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation, that he might be exalted. Then he who ascended and gave these gifts and all his glory and power to get victory, he first had to descend. He had to calm down in his humiliation. Is that right? And in coming down, he became sin for us. Unto this end was he born. For this cause came into the world. But that was God's way. Not of just paying the price, but how the price have to be paid. My. See, not just paying the price. Not just redeeming, but the laws by which redemption takes place. Becoming flesh. What does Hebrews 2 says? To become a high priest. To be touched. That we can be touched with the feeling of infirmities. To become man. That he can know what man feels. And he was tempted on points, yet without sin. So he can stand for us when we are tempted. Is that right? So it's nice. God became flesh. Praise God, the power of the word in flesh. But that means coming down. Coming down, down. Kick you. In flesh, you could feel that. In flesh, you had to battle that. In flesh, that's hard to take. In flesh, they talk about you and they whisper about you. Yeah, hi, lift it up. The end of the present champion of seraphims. Don't you have a place to lay your head? You're hungry in the boat, nothing to eat. Hungry by the tree and no food on the tree. Weary and tired in the boat. Rejected and despised. You're trying to hold on to the pillow to sleep in the rocking boat. My, weeping as a man. The one friend, good friend you have. You have a place in the home you can stay. They stand behind your ministry and support you. He's now laying in the grave. He wept by the grave. As a man, he came down so close. He could feel this. That is why God, the Holy Spirit in you. Some people think church is just a church life. Think it's this group and that group and this group and that group. No, friends. Life is not about that. Religion is about that. Man-made religion is about that. Life is where God put you on the earth for a purpose. And this God, you are part of having a place in His kingdom for you, in the faith civilization when it's restored back. And then he has certain earth is His testing ground. How He trains you and He works in your life. Preparing you, unveiling Himself to you. Amen. Proving to this world by your testimony that He lives. Glory! Showing He's still the same. And that is important to God. He proves to Satan that the same people man he tried to deceive and bring in the fall, God takes that fallen man, comes into that fallen man by justification, sanctification, and new birth. Then God grows up in that same man, and then God bruises Satan under the feet. You're shocked that the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet. That's right. And this bride in the last days, as a bride fell, the first Adam bride fell, so this last bride, she will bruise Satan's head and go back in. Is that right? So that's a great thing. So our life here, when we can walk and live there and say, God, I thank you for leading me to deeper thoughts. Raise me up to live in high objectives. Give me a clearer vision, a deeper insight as to the reality of your working behind my life. As to see your wisdom express that you designed my makeup. You numbered the hair on my head. You allot so much cubit for my stature that I can't add not one cubit to my stature. Woman can wear a high heel shoe, sure, and look taller. But that's a man-made thing. She's walking on stilts. You get what I'm saying? But God, if that is a short foot, God has got to grow it. Is that right? And how many times He did that for who had one long and one short? That's right. Glory be to God in the highest. Doesn't God think about everything? The smallest of things in your life sometimes. You think of that great big God, but as you go by some big official, get away, I don't have time for that. Let this young, smaller man take care of that. But the God of creation, running the whole universe, He thinks about the little things in your life. He sees every tear that you shed. Is that right? He feels every hurt that you feel. Your very thoughts speak louder in heaven than your very words on earth. Glory be to God in the highest. On the second seal, hear the prophet. What makes God big is because He's big enough to stoop down. That's what's making big. There is nothing bigger. And He stooped the lowest that nobody could stoop or any human being ever stooped. He was the King of heaven. He came to the lowest city in Jericho. He got so low to even the shortest man in the town had to look down on Him to see Him. Is that right? Zacchaeus. That's right. He was called the worst name that any man, human being could be called. A sorcerer, a devil, Beelzebub. That's what the world thought of Him. Died the cruelest death. Didn't have a place to lay His head. Kicked out by every organization. But when God exalted Him so high, till He has to look down to see heaven, God in humility, see? And He gave Him a name so great that the whole family of heaven is named after Him. And every family of the earth, all the family on earth is named Jesus. all the families in heaven is named Jesus. And such a name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He's the Lord, either here or in hell. Hell will bow to it. Everything else will bow to it. See? But first, it was humility. Then, it become great. See? Let God exalt. He that humbles himself, God will exalt. Amen. Glory. My. And this message here, on Joseph. Joseph meeting his brethren. He said, I'm so glad today I could join hands with that long string of despised and rejected and hidden by the ecclesiastics down to the land. Here they are. They are the lower. That's right. The ecclesiastical fear, speaking of the world educationally and socially speaking, they are above them. They are above God's children. God's children are down in the lower sphere. And we are glad to be humble, because those that will humble themselves, God will someday come the second time in glory to exalt His church. What is he talking about? He's talking about Joseph, the spiritual church. And the last says, listen, when he comes the second time, are we in the second coming? Is this hour that his name might be glorified and be admired in all them that believe, and he will fulfill the work of faith with power? Is that right? Revelation 19, he comes back with glorified saints. Revelation 10, when he comes to glorify himself and his saints. Are we to go to the marriage supper in a glorified body? Is that good? Has the Holy Ghost already claimed your body for glorification? Is that the earnest of your full change? All right now. Now follow this. Now, notice Joseph being a type of Christ, a type of the church, type of the Holy Spirit. He was a prince of prosperity, just as Christ is, just as the church today. Notice again, when he was born, his father loved him, made him a coat of many colors. Now, there's only 7 perfect colors in all colors. All others are made off of those colors. See, there's 7 seals, 7 spirits. All of the revelations come from them 7 seals. You take one, spend 20 years preaching, can't finish it. That's right. And the coat perhaps had colors in it, different 7 color stripes of colors into the coat that the father made. If you notice, maybe Joseph didn't understand that. Maybe Jacob didn't understand that at the time, but that signified promise one. When God gave Noah the rainbow sign, the 7 colors, there was a promise or a covenant one. God has made a covenant that he would destroy the world no more with water. And God's covenant was also carried over through Jacob into Joseph. Abraham was election, Isaac was justification, Israel was grace, and Joseph was perfection. That was the only one that had the colors. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost didn't have the colors. They had a color. But this didn't have the colors. They had a seal. They had a mystery in part. But didn't have all 7 mysteries fully revealed. All 7 voices. This one in the last days. Hallelujah. An undenominational bride. He has opened the 7 seals in the last days. To bring the head and the body as one. We see Jesus sitting upon the throne with the colors. Rainbow around him. In Revelation 1, God's coming to the people. Here it is. Oh, how I want to see it. Christ is God's covenant with his people. Not denomination, but Christ is God's covenant. And Joseph was hated, so is Christ hated. They don't want to say they hate Christ, but their works prove what they do. Notice, there he was, the covenant. Christ was to look upon a jasper and sardonyx stone in Revelation. That was the breaststone, or the birthstone rather, from Reuben to Benjamin. The brothers, you see. That was the reflection of the sardis and jasper as they reflected together under the light of God, made the covenant around Christ the rainbow. And what does it speak of? Reuben the oldest, Benjamin the youngest, from the first to the last. He's the one that was, which is, and shall come. The root and offspring of David. He's the morning star, from A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega, God reflection from the beginning of time to the end of time. There he is, God's covenant with the people. And all these other things, Joseph, David, all the prophets, was just a reflection, reflecting from the true seed, from the Garden of Eden, till the time that he shall come. The second time in glory to receive his people and his church. There it is. And that's the hour we live in. The second time he's come to receive. First coming was to do what? Redeem his church. Second coming is what? To receive his church. Third coming is what? To reign with his church. But here we are, friends. In this hour is a great thing. My. Now, I want to go a little further here for you. The way up is down. That's my subject. Joseph, descension, ascension. My subject is the way up is down. Because he first descended that he might ascend. The message so we would see Jesus. In Acts 2, he says, now Paul, speaking here, was speaking of yesterday. Talking about same yesterday and forever. Speaking of yesterday means Old Testament. Speaking of yesterday means the Old Testament. What he was yesterday is today and will be forever. That's the Old Testament, the New Testament, and forevermore. See, at the end of the New Testament, come seven seals open up. They show what was, is, and what shall be. All the way to the new heaven, new earth. See? Now, what he was yesterday? He was a great rich man yesterday. He'll be a great rich man today. But when he came yesterday, we find he didn't even have a place to lay his head. That's right. The birds of the air have nests and the foxes has dens, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. No, why do we sometimes get so... We want to see our lives in Christ's life. We want to see ourselves in the Word. And sometimes God gives you a little place for a season, you don't get a home to lay your head. And you feel kind of bad. And you feel embarrassed. You're shunning people. No, you're missing it. He let you know how he felt. He could have provided. He could have speak. The greatest one had one floating in the air and come down every day. But that's not the way. He wants us to teach you to know what he is, who he is, how he operates, what his life is. Because he was part of the same life. That's why Paul said, I know God best, I know God bang. As we had Friday night, in the good times, in the bad times, you praise his name anyhow. Joke to the Lord, give it to the Lord, take it away, bless him in the name of the Lord. You don't live your life like some normal person who just, you know, meat for the belly and living in this present life without any consciousness of where they come from and where they're going. No, the Word has opened to you. That's why I call you out. The evening light has come to you. It's shining in your heart. It's filling in your thinking. It's lifting you up to another level where the mind of Christ is coming in. And you begin to see God's plan in your life. In this age, when he has come to receive his church and you are part of that ransom church that is to be saved to sin no more. And that undergirds you. It establishes you. And you walk through life. Your compass and your notes are tied to your absolute. Is that right? You're shaken in mind and troubling spirit. You know, tribulation look at patience. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope making not ashamed. And you come from one level to the next, to the next, to the next. Until the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And you come to all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing the test of your faith with patience. You're in a hothouse plant, have a baby and spread. You're rugged, you're original. Glory be to God. You know your battle is the contest on. The greatest battle ever fought. And I sit and tell her, come toe to toe and throw punches. But you rock back and then I throw your combinations too. Yes, sir. And you train for the knockout punch because you can't take the Word. And you're cutting the pieces with the Word. And you get frustrated and have to leave you for a season. That's right. You then get beat up and beat up and say, I know what I'm a Christian for. And I can't live this life. And I never really wanted to live this life. I know God has me so far. No, no. We are more than conquerors. And what shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Glory! When he came, you know, he fought to have a hole. And he put out a nest, he put up a nest. And I even have a place for my head, like the Messiah. No, no. I'm glad I could even get so low, lower than the birds, lower than the fox. I can get so low to all creation, because I'm going to raise this fallen creation back up to put on its Eden beauty once again. Hallelujah! Not just man, but the very inheritance. I'll bring back man in its Eden beauty. I'll bring the creation back in its Eden beauty. Condescending. That's why sometimes God, people are scorn, and you can't go there, and you're watching, you want everything a nice air-conditioned room with nice lights and serving drinks and nice desserts, and the Bible is open, and you have markers out, and you're explaining about God, and you're showing your theology. Nonsense. That'd be like a Bible school. Amen. But where you get the presence of God, friends? Life. Reality. You're sweating it out a little bit. The place hot, and the devil fighting the minds, but you're holding the word, and the spirit creates an atmosphere, and down come the Holy Ghost, and people didn't care but what time it was, and the time flee away, and the clothes wet, but they come out changed. They come out quickened and anointed with the Holy Spirit. My. When he came to the world, he borrowed a womb to be born in. They had no cradle to lay him in, so they laid him in a box of straw. No, my thought is Joseph's descension and ascension. Who are you talking about? Who I've been telling you for the last August, September, October, November? Joseph is. I read it for you this morning. The Spirit-filled church. Type of the church in the last days. Type of Christ. That's right. Glory! And have Joseph on a personal level. Who Joseph himself was. The history of Joseph. There was a mystery of Christ. The greater Joseph. Amen. Then the last days, when that ministry come back in a prophet, Joseph again. Amen. Then in a spiritual church called out in the last days, they're going to come to perfection to bring the resurrection. Joseph again. That's right. Dispensational Joseph. Then I say that local Joseph, regional Joseph, international Joseph. They're all kind of Joseph too. God give you a corn here, Joseph. You have vision, but save people as Joseph. That's right. You can take it and do what you want to do with it. I just want to stay in the message right here. Listen. When he died, he was nailed to a Roman tree under capital punishment. He had one robe to put on. It had been made for him. Wove. True of without a seam. He had to borrow a grave to be buried in. So there is none of us that bad off. See that in your own heart. There is none of us that bad off. He came to show what God was. He came to show what God was. He said, but am I to let people do them things? Lee, put your thoughts aside. I'm not going to go there and fuss with nobody. God didn't send the fuss. I'm sent to show what God is. I'm sent to unveil the mighty God. I ain't sent to try to make a name for myself. I ain't sent to destabilize people's faith and pull and proselyte. I ain't sent to fight and battle with people and I know and be on some ego trip. No, I'm sent to unveil God. I'm sent to unveil God in bride form. Jesus Christ in bride form. To show the submissive spirit of the wise. In submission to our head. And give up the preeminence and the oversight and the leading. And our wife that will love him regardless. We sent to show that. Amen. Glory. He came to show what God was. Anything that's high and haughty isn't God. God is low and humble. God is low and humble. That's why you watch God take a look at man who tried to exalt himself in this age. Look where they are today. That's right. You know why? God resisted the proud and give it grace to the humble. And they were going to humble themselves and try to exalt themselves was a beast. And they were going to humble themselves. God lift them up. Listen. I'm coming to read and humble thyself just now. Coming to read and humble thyself. Which white Christ speak the morning. He said, that isn't me. God has shaken. It was a time of consecration. He had had an experience with the seven everlasting peaks and stand in the gap, but he had a loss of stealing for the people. He had got a complex and he started to get resentful and bitter in his spirit. And then God had to shake him up a little bit and let him see the danger he was slipping into. He had planned to go in the woods with his wife and all these things. You know the story. And then when he came to humble himself, he had come down there. And now he wanted to have a deeper feeling for the people. Because he started to see what it was going to take to get them out. And that though God have all the power, God went a man who can lose all his will. Who can get his will shown. And if you humble yourself, you go and preach Paul a prisoner of Christ. You get what I'm saying? One who can come and stand the gap after. What if he speak and bind senators and loose? That's right. It's a place he was walking. It's a place he was living. And as the mystery was unfolding in his life, he was speaking it out and laying the footprints, the bloody footprints, the blood, the mess of the hour for us to walk in, coming behind. And last week I preached on what? Love, faith, forgiveness. Friday I preached on what? Thanksgiving. This morning I'm preaching about humility. Don't miss what is happening. Love, faith, forgiveness, thanksgiving, gratitude, humility this morning. That's what made him God. See, something that comes low, not them that goes high. So God doesn't dwell in hierarchies and things. He dwells in humility. The way up is down. Humble yourself and you'll be exalted. Exalt yourself and you'll be humbled. That's right. See, God knows how to do it. God knows how to do it. And that's how he did it. So you have to remember, humble yourself before God, and don't try to think your own thoughts. Think his thoughts. Now, when you think in the scripture, and you see how way up in heaven, Lucifer, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, Sunday morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? He's fallen in the ground and he's cut down from the lofty place he was. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He only seen ascending. He had no descending first. You get where I'm coming from now? Hear what God says now. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In heaven, he tried to exalt himself. Eve went to get more knowledge so she could become a woman teacher and come and teach Adam how to bring the promise. And she went to a seminary of a teacher who only had a tongue. He wasn't forming the image. All he had was a tongue that could give sensation. See? And she got deceived. A little Pentecostalism. Lucifer tried to ascend without first descending. That's why I keep reading all those things to show you first. Philippians, Ephesians, he first descended. He made it out of no repetition first. He descended. He started in a little log cabin. 이브기전 가프에서 get so low down until a man trying to kill people in cold blood, trying to commit suicide, and everything else. Is that right? But then when he came in the cave, he began to raise it up. After everybody had called him the devil, and the man was going to mind saying, Lord, this is of the devil, I don't want to be of the devil. But when God came, God said, I raise him up. First Paul, second Paul, third Paul. Is that right? Until after a while, sometimes I think he's God. I want to worship him. I said, No. I just listened by grace. I don't mean a murderer, I haven't been for the grace of God. I thought I'd point them back where God comes so low down in a little old cave to take him out. Like when God met Elijah in a cave too. Is that right? All neurotic and everything else. What do us thou here, Elijah of this day? In Greensville? What do us thou here in this cave? So neurotic. Lord, I tell me this of the devil and I can't understand this and I go up to mine and how can it be the devil and I love you, Jesus? But he knew to calm the fear, isn't that right? What did he do? Open the scriptures. Started showing himself in the Bible. So he will not see himself the way they're trying to paint a picture of him as the devil. He said, no, you're not no devil, but about them. He says, the devils even have more revelation than them. Because they call him Beelzebub, and the devil saying the Holy One of Israel. He says, no, but about them. He said, they're old thing. This happens every time in every generation. No, but about that. This only identifying who you are. Let it write the book. Let it call it what it want. Let it do what it want. He said, I don't show you who you are in the Bible here. You go on faith to order that 7th grade education. Hallelujah! That's right. You don't get sarcastic neither. They can tell you, bring a divine healer here, a pin a skin, a hide to the wall, and all these different, you know, badge on talk. He said, you just say, I don't think Brother Best would call himself a divine savior because he preached salvation. Neither would I call myself a divine healer because I preach healing. Oh my. Thy soft wisdom. Amen. To turn away the rat and just keep going on about your purpose and leave the pillar of fire to come down and take out his own picture. Well, in a bow, in a cloud, in a halo, whatever you want to do, let him come and do what you want to do by the grace of God. You just keep going on. Amen. You said the Lord bless you. Amen. And keep going on. Hallelujah! I'm talking about the God of the Bible, the identified Christ of all ages. Now being identified in his people, amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Because not a sermon to me. It's a reality. It's a life. It's Hebrews 13:8. Let us see God. We saw him in creation. We saw him in his word. We saw him in his son. But now we must see him in his people. Glory be to God. Lucifer tried to ascend up for descending. What did the Bible say? Pride great before destruction. Pride is a forerunner. You see a man getting lifted up and he went to ascend. And he ain't descend yet? You watch that. Sometimes God will be breaking down people, breaking them down to get them humble. To see it's not by your might, it's not by your power. Don't try to take things in your hand. You're beating your head against the light. You're only beating your brains out. You count the light. That's right. But they can't learn. You say, is that so? Look at Korah. Man called on that prophet message. Baptized under the prophet message. Great position in the prophet message. But the thing is, the fellow want to ascend up into the high priest office to be the chief priest. But he started to manipulate the people. The people and the people and the people. Like if you so care for the people. But the thing was to ride on the people back into power. Personal power to fulfill personal ambition. And trying to ascend before he descend. And Moses comes. Moses said, Korah, you mean you're content with the place God gave you? That vision come from the cloud. Korah, remember, I went down in the mud pit. I was full of all the wisdom in Egypt. I was Pharaoh's son-in-law. Pharaoh's grandson. I was the son of his daughter. I teach you wisdom, Egyptians. I'm the greatest man in Egypt. He said, and I forsook that to go down in the mud pit. And from down in the depths of the mud pit, when God showed me how to leave that and descend first, I wanted to stay up here and sign a decree and let the people out. God said, no, it don't come to that politics. This is redemption. You're a shepherd. Amen. Glory be to God. A shepherd of my people. You're born to be a shepherd, prophet, a deliverer. Is that right? And so when Moses get confronted, he had to face the realities and the facts of life. Because we have looked back in the Bible, that was God's way. God make Abraham leave. Oh, a child is this great mighty city. Great man over there and everything. And God said, leave all that. But the investment, Lord. But the land I just buy. But Lord, sons and so. And the father inheritance down here. Leave that and follow me. I will give you a land. And the man coming out, not knowing where they're going, and ain't so much as possess an inch of ground yet. Until one day God comes to hereby, I will show you of a surety you will inherit it. God come and confirm the covenant. Is that right? And say, now walk east, west, north, and south. And all this land I give to you. Is that right? Then when kings, he reproved kings for his sake. Pharaoh in Egypt, Abimelech. Is that right? Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. He reproved kings for the sake. Then finally God come and sit by the man tent and eat with him. Open up the mystery and say, I know Abraham. He will command his household. Is that right? Exalt him so high, and God say, that's my friend. Yes. Abraham became the friend of God. Yes. So Moses can look back there. When we come to junctions, is not somebody trying to force that on you? That's the principle of God's life. That's God's way. That's how God does it. And he's doing it in some of your lives, but you can't understand it. And you resist it. And you get vexed. And sometimes he demotes you. For Brother Peter in Dominica, he demotes you. And he puts you down from the big manager down to the window dresser. Because you have to bring you down first. You have to descend first. But he's going to exalt you up. So take courage. Amen! Take courage! He'll give you a name far above every other name that you have and man could give you. That's right. He'll give you a glory and power far beyond what politics and religion could give you and money could give you. That's right. Glory. Now watch. The way up is down. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. He exalts himself shall be abased. And Korah tried to ascend without first descending. And then what did God do? Abase him. Abase him! The earth opened and swallowed up he and all of them who tried to exalt themselves. Is that right? The prophet said, worldliness take them over. The earth, the world, opened more and swallowed them. Swallowed up in the world. You got Absalom. You got false humility. I will ascend. And he start like he's so humble. Oh, brother. Oh, my. But he may say, that is what you're going through? And nobody attend you so long? Oh, brother, come. Now we're going to drink a juice. And sit down and talk this over. See? Bible says he stole the hearts. That's the word he used. He told a tale and he said, I prolonged David's stars into a lower order. So he could ascend up into a higher place. And he who tried to ascend, pride was going before the fall. Is that right? And I thought his spirit was going to have a fall. That's right. I know what happened. Daddy came crashing. Is that right? I mean, remember Nebuchadnezzar? Look at this Babylon I've built. Walking about. Oh, he felt so important. He felt, my goodness, I'm a great tree. All the fowls lodge in me and eat fruit of me. All the cattle take shade under me. And then one day, he got a dream. You see a man come down with an axe after the watchers. Pull up his file and say, cut it down. And the chips are just flying. And God bring him down. And Belshazzar tried to ascend himself so high too. And the right can come and say, your will and the kingdom shall be found wanting. You're coming down, you and your whole kingdom. I give it to the Medes and the Persians. Is that right? That's why God bust up man, church man, trying to make themselves all kind of different things. Lift up themselves, exalt themselves, make themselves so super important. But the man, the hour, challenging people and everything else. And you watch and see. Watch and see, friend. You watch this Bible here. Joseph, you descend first. Descend first. Remember Uzziah? But he was ascending so high. You thought he wasn't going to stop ascending. And he ascended so high, and when he reached the limit of ascent, he felt in his heart, I still want to go higher. I will be priest and king. I want to be lamb and lion. And he stepped in there. You know what happened? They beg him, it appertaineth not unto you. Brother, behave yourself. Brother, it just, you can't get your head full up of nonsense. You get what I'm saying? Yes. That's right. And then what happened? Daddy came! End up in the leper house. All the glory fade away. The man made glory, that man touched unto him. No, friends. You descend first. You descend first. Joseph, he felt he was something. He felt he was something. Paul, a prisoner of Christ, listen. You see, here we got another 10 minutes to make a point. I like to get another character. I see one before me now. His name is Joseph. He was an elected son. He said, I see one before me. He's preaching here under inspiration. Maybe a vision flash. Maybe I looked at his notes. Who knows? He said, but I see one. Joseph. He says, he was an elected son. He was a perfect type. Get it? Of Jesus Christ. He was born a prophet. He was a prophet also. And now he can see visions. And when he was yet a little boy, he saw a vision of himself sitting on a throne. And his brothers bowing to him. He felt like he was a great guy. See? And all the other. But what did God have to do? See? He felt like he was a great guy. He said all the others. And what did God have to do? He done the same thing that he did to the rest of them. Because Moses was the deliverer. Remember Moses? We just had Moses. Moses come down into the pit. And when he come into the pit, God said, I raise him up out of the pit. He raised right up into the mountain, went up in the cloud, the supernatural cloud, come back up with the tent vision to bring God's presence right down among the people. Is that right? And he come back up with the glory that of God shining through him that the people couldn't even look upon. And God made Moses God to the people. Is that right? But he first descended down into the pit. Are you trying to work in a way that is not God provided with, my brother, my sister? Are you trying to work through the ingenious of man? Are you trying to work with your brains? Or are you submitting your heart to the Holy Spirit and the Word? And laying yourself open before God that you can wash your insides. You can lay down your head. You can lay down your feet. You can lay down your fat. You can lay down your inwards. Amen. And then God can consume all and it come before him in a holocaust, a ola, a sweet smelling savor that ascends up to God. And God said, this is my beloved son. In whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Look at Ruth. Leaves her nice big place in Moab, family estate, nice young girl down there, aristocrat family and everything else. And she leaves there to come and do what? Be a gleaner in the field. When she saw the truth, she willing to take the low place. She humbled herself and she was obedient. And she even begged and entreated not to leave thee. And she was coming down. Is that right? Coming down. And she went like a beggar to pick up the leftovers. But then God said, okay, time. You show yourself. Amen. You learn your lesson. You prove you can serve. You prove you're not yourself. You prove you can be trusted. You prove that you have what it takes to receive power and to share my kingdom. And then Boaz come in the field. And Boaz come in the field. Is that right? And she started ascend. He said, throw the first handful. Then she went to the threshing floor. 6 measures. Then he said, by the gate. Is that right? Then he said, this gate takes you for wives. Glory! He said, raise her back up high. My brother, my sister, what do you think he's doing with you? What do you think? Look at Rebecca leaving all her family down there. This man come with this message. This man come with this power prayer. Pray that power prayer by the well. Brother, the place get charged. The angel drop down. Because Abraham said that angel will go with you. Is that right? Oh my, this little dance will come on that well. But brother, that well have an anointing from that man prayer. That man just pray. Every day, normally she come without the anointing. But that was the evening messenger. There's an angel with him. And there's a special anointing after prayer. And he was born with a gift to pray. Yes, sir! He said, you're born with a gift to pray. Is that right? And be sincere when you pray. And he stood and he prayed a prayer. Like he put a mask prayer. And to show the power Eliezer prayers. But I take the 1,000 blankets and just break the idol on that prayer. Challenge! Jains, Buddhist, Hindu, everybody, Muslim, in India and Bombay. One prayer and 10,000 Mohammedans come to Christ. Is that right? One prayer in Germany and send that thing back, that storm back. Eliezer stand by that well and said, I pray, and the prayer get anointed. And he pray, and Lord, let it be the damsel. And he said, I get specific in the prayer. Let her come and ask me, you know, if I want a drink. And then let her say, she going to, and the prayer traveling, going up in another octave, so definitive, so direct, so precise, like radar. And this girl come and walk under that atmosphere of this prayer. And but she get drunk in the spirit. She said, I talk to strangers she never meet. So he said, we're talking to this man so far. We're trying to be so hospitable. I don't even know the man. But it was agape love. Moving this girl. Giving her power for service. Hallelujah. Power for service. Something was happening. Glory. Oh my. She said, Mommy and Daddy, I love all you. Brother Laban, I love you. I love my city. I love my family. And don't think I'm a fool. Don't think I'm making no wild decision here. But I've followed that voice that led me all through my life. Amen. And something in my destiny tell me, this is the time to leave here. Amen. I think I'll link up with the supernatural here. She said, I will go. That's it. I will go. And he says, here's the camel, ma'am. And she's in that camel and she fit the saddle. Oh, tell that camel, see that camel bow down, so she get in that camel. It fits she just right. It was sent, that the beast sent a packet to the unseen bridegroom. A word that she, for the power that she waters, that taking her into a rapturing grace. Coming down, descending. Joseph had to descend. And he had to go down to prison. We're getting him here now. He thought he was a great father. Oh, he had dreams and revelations and everything else and preaching. But boy, power. God said, okay, time to go now. He said, I'll make you decide a little bit. Take your daughter. Take your books. Take it a second time. Now he's going to bring everybody to hate you now and persecute you. Then all kinds of things happen to you. Bring you down now a little bit. Learn to be a prisoner. get themselves crucifixion in your life now. You don't just want to run over the place and preach and behave like this bunch of Pentecostals running wild in the message and the ego trips. You call for a different work. You separate for a different kind of service. You will not be like them. Amen. You'll be a humble herdsman, laughing like the sheep and talking like the sheep. Amen. That's right. Glory. What did God have to do to him? Put him in prison. Right straight to prison. Same thing happened to the rest of them. Moses was a deliverer. Paul was a deliverer. Now Joseph was a deliverer. He saved his people from the famine. Yes, he remembered he was sold by his brothers to an Egyptian. And they sold him to Potiphar. And Potiphar gave him a little bit of liberty. At the first, you know. Things were nice for a season. And then he get back bad again. See? That was taken from him. And there he sat in the prison crying. God had to strip it. He sit down there with all them prophetic visions in a prison and can't preach it to nobody. He among all kind of evil nature who only want all kind of thing that jail could offer. Nobody interested in sitting down to understand or even looking to him. He's different to nobody. They ain't staying long enough. God had to strip it. Now notice, I believe that prison could remember that vision that said he was going to sit on a throne and his brothers was going to bow to him because he knew that his gift came from God. And he knew that it had to come to pass. If we could only keep that in our minds, that according to the word of God in these last days, he's going to have a church. Going to have a people. And these things that he promised, he's going to do them. He said he would. And we are living in the time. We are there. He's just trying to get us to be real prisoners. Now locked in with him. All these things he promised in the last days, he'll do it. But he gave us the message. They run with the message that I beat everybody. Everybody that Jezebel. Everybody in the nomination going to the devil. Nobody have no love. Nobody have faith to believe for the brother. Nobody have virtue to go out with meekness and strength. Nobody have knowledge to know what is God provided way. Nobody to have the right discernment how to approach that. What word to apply for that. No knowledge. No temperance. But they go after who followed women. Who followed money. Who went after popularity. All these things. Patience to wait. Impatience possesses souls. The testing of your faith. Look at patience. Have a testing time of your revelation. Have a time. The vision will speak at the appointed time. But until the time comes, the word tried you. And the testing of your faith. Look at patience. And patient experience. Now watch. And godliness. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. Humility to be like God. God is not a big haughty up in the sky, self-praise, self-adoration, want everybody to pat you on the back. No. God is a humble servant. He that wants to be the greatest must come and become the least and serve. And bodily kindness, to put yourself in a better place. And love, even though you know this and you know that and you know that, love cover a multitude of sins. Love is not puffed up. Love doesn't vaunt itself. But knowledge puff it up. But love is not puff up. Knowledge boasts itself. But love humbles itself. Think on the things of others. Rejoice not in iniquity. Love rejoice in the truth. People looking for power, friends. People looking for things. But the knowing the God who is the potter and who is forming the vessel and his objective and purpose, there's very little fellowship with that God. They can tell you what they hear on that tape. They can tell you what that man preached, what that person not preaching, who have the revelation. But what does God say? They have no fellowship with God. They're living in a religious realm of a lot of religious politicians. And people who went to establish their own person in the hearts of people and set up their own little camps and their own little man-made systems. Nicolaitanism. See? But God, where is people talking to God and God talking to them? And God is teaching them his ways. And when they go, they're reflecting this God. And the presence of that God coming close among the people. And the people falling in love with that God who is a savior and who shed his blood for them. And that God coming to their heart, because now they yield and open up their heart. When they see how lovely it is to be in the presence of that God, they want to serve that God. And they want that God to live inside of them. Not come and join our group and come here and serve. Nonsense! Now watch. He's sitting in that prison crying. God had to strip it. But you remember that? You remember the gift come from God? If we could only keep that in our minds, and according to the word of God, in these last days, we're going to have a church. We're going to have a people. See? You see, we are living that time. God's going to do these things, friends. But he's just trying to get us to be real prisoners now, locked in with him. Did you know the old song we used to sing? Then I'm shut in with God. To be shut in with God. Now, where I thought about this, being shut in with God, nothing else. That's where he thought about this message. Being shut in with God in a secret place. Between the Gentile prophets and the Jewish prophets, shut in with God in a secret place. Whereas then one comes down and the Spirit and the Bride come into union, invisible union. Where she becomes the final voice and they almost prophesy again. He was thinking. He also, though, became a total failure to himself. All that he knew, all that he understood and everything, he became a total failure. It didn't work. He knew all kind of things, being in prison. Shut up. Become a total failure to himself. He became a total failure. It didn't work. He was put under a situation to where that nobody would listen to him. And he was a prisoner. You ever want to try to tell everybody your revelation and they listen to you? Somebody talking the deepest of things that means so much to you. And then somebody tell them about some soft drink or somebody crack a joke and they take off and they go off on that and they forget the new chapter I just said right now. What's happening here, boy? And then you're watching them and about minutes pass and they forget they will know you're saying. God does that. God does that. That's right. He was put in a situation that unbelievers would not believe. Do you see what I mean? His ministry was of none effect. If people turned their heads, they wouldn't pay no attention to him in prison. What good would his ministry do? He might stand through the prison bars and preach to them. They walk on down the street. But he became a prisoner. God kept him a prisoner until the wheel got rolled up right. God had him there. And kept him a prisoner. Keep him in a non-effect place. Prophet with his great ministry. 40 in the desert. You go when you go into big meetings, they can't take no doctrine. They can't take long preaching. They want half an hour, they won't pick up the offering. Here's your five offices, the nine gifts. Here's the Messiah sign. All these things back in one man bottle up. Here's the mystery of seven seals, seven thunders, capstone revelation. And all the good Pentecostals who want to roll on the floor and dance and say, don't preach something here. You know, you're ruining your ministry. Teach a woman to get gifts and so on. You only talk about dressing and the condition of the woman, and you're blasting her. No, we can't take her. And they decided to fellowship him. And that's when he preaches this. After all, man forsaking him. Of no effect. And he's walking around here. But it's such a great ministry. Seen visions, hundreds of thousands of visions. Angel of the Lord here. And they want to listen to a woman preacher. They're more interested in listening to a woman preacher trying to teach intelligence. Tight pants, which she under clothes showing. Trying to speak in tongues. And nobody understands what she's saying. And they're packing stadiums with that. And he's out there with 40 in a house. In a trailer house. God's strange, eh? God's strange. But isn't that the same God who come down in the manure pile? Isn't that the same God who sent down a man in the mud pit? That is not nice history for us to read and feel exempted from it, you know. The time has come, once you're part of this, you're put you in it. And in your little world and your little environment where you are, little Joseph, with the word in you, You sort of feel your word and your testimony and all the kind of no effect. After they laugh at you, they can make joke at you, all in the office, all in the job. They can ridicule you. When you come in, that special name for your preacher or all kinds of different things, right, self-righteous, and all kinds of things they want to tell you. And you're going through that. But that is where many break and get discouraged. Because they don't understand. Because they're not into the lies and the mystery. They think the lies mean come to church, dress up nice, listen, go to the church program, and get ready to go to the rapture with that. You don't realize, no, the life is the walk with Him. The path He ordained for you in your walk with Him, in life journey. The road He mapped out for you. You choose a time for you to be born, choose a time for you to die. He mapped out the plan of your life and the route that you will take and the way He'll reveal Himself to you. Watch quickly. Paul, finally, God came to him in his prison, like Paul, Joseph, just like Paul. He came to him and he used the gift that He gave him to get him out of the air. He brought him from the prison. What did he do? Get it now. As soon as he was brought, becoming his exaltation, God put him down there first. He thought with all them visions and seeing these things, super race and super church, and the last time when the third will come and we will speak the word just now. And sometimes they're still going to calculate 73 and 3.5 is 77. And the prophet said 77 is the rapture going to take place. So between here and there, we're supposed to have the spoken word. And so he said, get ready. And then they want to kind of manifest that. And somebody speak a rat of the existence in a church. I went crazy. Then somebody does speak a cockroach in a church there. And now the spoken word. You know, they're flying, they drop. And try a whole church in the chaos. Then somehow the ministry gathered the bride all over the island and started prophesy, end up in politics and all kinds of different things. You know what I'm saying? Crazy spiritual insanity in the message. Then somehow the special man that you have to get it from. If you don't get it from that man, you're not in the bride. Then the poor man wants somebody to help him where he is right now too. See? This is the thing. Why? They try to ascend without first descending. They take the route Lucifer take. I will ascend. I'll be great. I'll just be like God. I'll have the kingdom. I'll have the glory. I'll have the power. I'll have the music. I'll have the place charged. He said, thou shalt be brought down to hell. The sides of the pit. Joseph there, boy, he, you know, all this thing, walking around the house there. And then the time come. And God said, no. Pit for you. Pit this follow vision. Prophetic vision. Then blessing for a season. And you're raised when you come into position. I said, I talk about I the steward. And I'm in charge of all Potiphar's substance. And I start seeing myself in so many different ways. You know, in this. And then God said, you think it's done yet? He's in prison over you. And before he's in prison, and inside of there, and I said, oh God, what's going on here? And then now you have all this pressure on your mind and false charge, and everybody's senior, and you're coming to say, oh, you're the rapper man. You're the young fella with after the man wife. You. You're the smart child, eh? Come here, I'm going to teach you something. Come. Come, let me take this fella across here. Come, bring him. All these Hebrew come down here, you want to mess with the Egyptian woman, eh? Hey, what do you like? See? Don't happen so, friends. But did that change who he was? Did that change God's plan for him? What was God doing? Teaching the one who is ordained for the thing his way. Bringing him in condition. And that involves bad name, people seeing you the wrong way, people persecuting you, your ministry come no effect, you're trying to defend yourself and explain the jail, you didn't touch your woman and so and this and that, and you're trying to get somebody on your side and get some other support, and somebody said, he can talk, but he talk too smooth. He said, but I accept what I'm fella saying. He explained a good thing. I feel sorry for him. He like touch my heart, you know. But now, boy, that fella. See that kind of nice duty way he is, eh? Because he's comely. He's attractive. He's goodly. to look at. Brother, tell us, Joseph, when that was the time, he said, Joseph, a type of Christ, and Joseph saw the 14-year prophecy, and Joseph said, Joseph, he looked kind of sweet, eh? And then everybody get caught up in that, and nobody has seen the chain, the prison, the slap, the humiliation, the degradation, the victimization. But that is God's way. You have to first descend. They that humble themselves. When God break in and strip in, you have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt thee in due time. It wasn't due time when he tried to tell the butler, tell Pharaoh, that wasn't due time. God said, that's not due time. Due time? Time will due. You still have 2 years in here. Then time will due. You must descend. How many are willing to descend? How many to let go and say, God, I want to descend. I realize not my mind. I must first descend. Then I can lead captivity captive. Then I can be. Jesus descended. Is that right? And then what do you do? He raised up the Old Testament saints. He raised up the Old Testament saints. He comes so low first until the lowest man, the lowest city, the shortest man was looking up at him. Are we to raise the sleeping saints? Bound to the members of the bride. When say, are we to raise them? You know what I mean? When it should come to perfection, it bring the resurrection, the power will draw the sleeping one. They wait until we come to made perfect first. And when that takes place, then the next part comes. Then watch. If that is to happen, friends, then how we know there's a low part to get low. This, and that's why many feel disappointed, because they didn't see the kind of manifestation they wanted to see, because they don't know you had to first descend. God had to strip you to get it right. But in between there, he causing Potiphar's house to prosper. He revealing things to his brothers and them. He revealing things to the butler and the baker. But he hasn't said yet. So it's not like you have nothing. You have it. And the Lord who's been put in the house. And the Lord who's been in the prison house. God with you, sure. And things happening in your life. And you have testimonies. But the prison part was over when that hour came. And as soon as he was brought from his prison, he was given power by the king. His king that he sat on the side of, he was under. He was brought from the prison house and given power to whatever he said had to happen. In his prison, he constantly remembered he was born for a purpose. To that, he was born to sit by a king. And all the rest of them, he was going to bow the knee to him. His vision told him so. And before his vision could be completely fulfilled, he had to become a prisoner. Then he became a ruler. And when he came from his prison house and became a prisoner to the word of God, that he could only say what God put in his mouth to say, then God moved to him. Because all the other things are little small prophecies that lead up to the real big one that's going to save the world. Paul, just about 2 more minutes, he said, got a prisoner from a prisoner of the world. From Paul the same way, Moses the same way, from a prisoner to his own thinking, to a prisoner to God. When the old thinking of Moses, he surrendered it. He was stripped of it. He became a prisoner to Christ where he could only move. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures. He was a prisoner to Christ like Paul was. Remember all three of them, Moses, Joseph, Paul, all three of them were prophets. They had to be stripped of their own thinking in order to become a prisoner to the will and ways of God. And you remember now that he had power to bind at his own word. He had power to loose at his own word. I loose you in the name of my king. Pharaoh made Joseph his son. Catch this. I want to strike something in another part of the scripture to close with. But I want you to catch the thought here. Pharaoh made Joseph his son. Christ makes his prisoners of love his sons. And he gives them power. The same thing he had. John 14:12. He that believeth in me, the works I do shall do also. Even more than this shall he do. Now the prisoner of the love of Christ becomes empowered by his King, who is Christ. And verily I say unto you, if you sit in this mountain, be moved. You see the power he's talking about? And don't doubt in your heart. You believe what you said. Look at the past. You love what you said. If you abide in me, my word abide in you. Because him and his word is the same. How did that open to him? He was rejected. Everything come right down. Down to the lowest. All man forsook him. Rejected. The shock that supported the husk. The seed rather. For a season. Pull back. And let it out. All man forsook him. The seed left the shock. The church rejected him as son of God. And then he could be revealed as son of man. Between son of God and son of David. Watch. Watch what happens, friends. Notice, before he came out, he had to be taken out and shaved. A few things had to be shaved off before he could meet his King. Oh, God. It's like I went to a prison. Maybe you're being shaved now. The razor. You ever see a man sharpen a razor? The multi-time barbers? He sharpened that razor so. And he sharpened and do so. And it's still it the way he was. And he sharpened again. Who do you think he's going to bring to you that one? The man in the chair, you know? Man, that chair there. And then he sharpened it. And it come in here. Sharp. Then his whole hair, so. And stretch the skin. And it's done. Shaving it. Think you can't normally see. Stretch the skin, put it back. He passes it and he shaves down this way. Shave it clean. You pass it on both sides. He shaves clean. You know what's happening? He's getting ready to meet his King. What is he shaving off? Your little I wills. I will do this and I will do that and I will ascend and I will be like God and I will be like the Most High and I will be. Not God will, you know. I will. Shave it off. Oh, God sometimes takes his people out like that and shave a few of their own wills off. He shows them that they can't do just what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? They are not at liberty to do what they want to do. Before they can come into full power and be a love slave to Christ, they have to be shaved off and then presented. Shaved and then presented. Prisoner first. Shaved and then presented. Sometimes it takes them to the deserts to do that, to shave them off and then bring them out, the anointed ones, to fulfill the purpose that is ordained for them to be. See what I mean? He said, brothers, we are at the end time. He's seen these Josephs, the church in the last days. Oh, how God is stripping them. And they're not understanding. And God make their lives like it's of no effect. And in confinement, in prison, they have no rights. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when to sleep. They tell you when to eat. They tell you when to exercise. You can't say, I feel the rest of the day. No, the chain is upon you. And they stand there. They pass every time. And they check as if you know yourself. They rattle that chain. In time to wake up and you're dreaming, they care. They rattle that chain. Beat that them bars and you jump up to sleep. They throw water and you tend to get up. You get out. Why? Your rights are gone. You're in confinement. Your privileges are taken away. You're going there with a nice special cut and your long side burns and your little thin pencil beard. And you have your nice cologne and you spray it up and your special mirror that you want to see the back of your head and the side of your head. They take all of that away from you in prison. And all the little dainty things like, and you want to wear a special shoe that's matched with a certain pants. They take away all that clothes and they get prison clothes and number on it. And they got a prison identity. I know no more civilian identity. It's a prison. There's a next world inside of here. That is what God does. That is what God does. That is the mystery of Joseph, this end time prophecy, this seven seal mystery, where this perfection, this church is going to come for this rainbow one, the covenanted one. It's going to come in the last days. That is the condition. That is the environment. That is the way it is laid out. It is marked out. to bring them into power. And then when God sent the prophet, who was that spiritual Joseph on a personal, individual level here at the end of the age, then he came, and what happened? He kind of lived the mystery out, and then it led him back to the Bible to open it and show us how we will come into power, that the promises might be fulfilled in this hour. Amen? Oh man, you got to give me a couple more minutes. I want to get 2 Samuel 9 quickly. I'm going to close with this. Gosh, just gained about one third. But aren't you enjoying this series on Joseph?
Yeah.
I tell you, Joseph from a different view, eh?
Yes.
We rarely look into his heart and see our own heart, see our own self. We look into God deal with him and see our own. Oh my. This book of Genesis, I tell you. Start with Genesis 1. God, Spirit of God moved, let there be light. That was Revelation 10 right there. God spoke, called for a ministry of light to come into manifestation, lose that attribute that bound in darkness, transform it into an Eden until there's an image of a man reflecting God that God was in union with. Ends with what? Joseph. Adam, Eve, and Eden, Joseph, and his bride in the land where Joseph had dominion with his brothers. Same thing. That's the seventh trumpet. That's the seventh seal. Genesis. So beautiful. Seven feasts in the life of Joseph. All these things. Okay, quickly. You want to be humble. Remember Solomon in the Bible? After David died, he said, Lord, I'm a child. I'm a child. Look at these great people. How can I lead these people? Adonijah was trying to take the king, the throne. Absalom was trying to take the throne. They all want the power. When Solomon came in, he said, oh God, I'm a child. Who can rule such a great people like these people? Lord, you gotta help me for my father's sake. Give me wisdom, give me understanding, Lord. I want to lead the people right. This is a great responsibility. God, because you ask some money and riches and everything, I give you all that. I give you honor and glory like no other king had. And man, if one gift of wisdom, led him to a golden age. Is that right? Greatest age in all of Israel. Show how those things are, friends. Ruth and Rahab, look at Rahab. Little girl down there. Descended so deep into harlot tree and whoredom and these things. But look where God came down and took her out and raised her up to be what? Great grandmother of Jesus Christ. My. Little Esther, the way he's up from. But all those who wanted to ascend, God abased them. Korah, Uzziah, Herod, worms eat him. Try to vex the church. Is that right? Bible people say, wow, he's a god. God said, they say enough. You exalt yourself too much. Smoke him. That's how worms eat him. Miriam, one or two little prophecies, and she thought she was so great. See? But look what happened. God abased her. Leprosy. In the mouth and the face and everything else. Look at those who try to ascend. Those who by pride try to ascend without descending. Korah, look where he ended up. Look at that woman Jezebel. She can't dare take over the country. Oh, how good is her? I'll do it him. I'll fix him. God ended up finishing the dogs. She become dog meat. The horses trample upon she. They pick up the bone and the skull in the end. To walk around the big south there. Strong is the Lord that judges her, friends. In her is found the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Might rule over kings of the world and merchants in this hour, but the time is come. Because Elijah already put that curse, a bomb on the Vatican, Revelation 18. You know that too. Old Testament and New Testament. But you know there were some
who had to descend that they might get ascended again.
Remember the prodigal son in the Bible? Left the father's house. Look where he ended up. Among the pig and the swine. He descends so low, down in the filth. He refused to be under the authority of his father. He became under the authority of the swine feeder, who had him mixing and mingling with swine down in the in filth. Sometimes you don't want to be in subjection to God. You don't want the word of God to rule your life. God will teach you different things. That's why these things are put in the Bible for examples. We must first descend that we might ascend. Nebuchadnezzar had to descend, and God said, 7 years, he's going to stay there and eat grass like an ox. Then I'll bring him back to the throne. Manasseh, God let him rot in a prison, tried to put all kind of idolatry in the church and everything else. And then when he rotted down in a prison there, then God had mercy, had been a cry and repent and beg and plead God. That Manasseh, you know, that is the son of Hezekiah, and then bring him back on his throne. Sometimes God teaches man what it is to descend. He doesn't want to be the greatest. Let him become a servant and serve. Let him become the least. Think on the things of others. Prefer one another. Have a meek and lowly spirit in all humility. And this 2 Kings 9 opens up something here, which I'll close with. And David said, this is after Saul's house had done been destroyed. David has become king now. Abner and all the folly trying to play the politics to try for David not to come to the throne and keep the house divided. And then they had the long wars. And Saul, who had one of the greatest houses in all Israel, his father was a great man, he was a son of Kish. All of that thing was so destroyed. All the great princes, all the great Saul, Jonathan, everybody had done die and everything else. And here it come down to such a place. All the politics they try to play, Ish-bosheth rise up there, you know, and come to the throne afterwards, one of Saul's sons, and even try to bring more problems upon David. But then in the end, God bring David to the place that he was elected and called and anointed for. 2 Samuel 9. And David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul? What is he thinking about here? Here he is now. He's getting ready to do some kindness. He said, is there any that is left in the house of Saul? So much had died. The house had broken and stripped right down. That he wondered if there's any more of Saul's children. Where that great big church is to fight and persecute David? Where's that great thing that pelted the javelin and had the soldiers hunting down all the wilderness and everything else? He had gone. He says, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. Imagine when a Saul man in David's presence here now. They said, you is Ziba? You? He said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Look at David full of brotherly kindness. Look at David here anointed. Look at David here, the beloved, God chosen. Look at him. It's like Joseph from the sheepcote, he had come to the throne. Like Joseph, how he had come himself. David had to descend, he was rejected. Got him down the low things. Down there, he first descended in the sheepcote. Then he went down there, saw armor bearer, still low, playing as a minstrel. He cast off little demons over Saul to soothe the king. But God had a great place for us. When Samuel called him that day, they wouldn't even invite him to the feast. And Samuel called him. Samuel anointed him. And now he's king. Now he's placed with all authority in the kingdom. And instead of looking for revenge, like Abimelech, Gideon's son. In Judges 9. You know the story? Abimelech, after Gideon died, usurped the leadership over the father house. And then he killed 78 brothers. Establish yourself. That's how he came into power. Kill them all. This one. Kill them. Assassinate the character. Assassinate this one. Assassinate it. But with that kind of tongue he had there, he slay everyone. On a certain stone, the Bible says. Who do them talk about? And then he set up himself like the big man. But watch. The same kind of spirit that Talia had when Jehoram died. And she'd take over and kill out all the king's seed. So she could control afterwards all the royal seed. And the same way he killed out them 70 sons, it had one God's spear. And the same way Atalia killed, it had one God's spear. But David coming to power now, but he looking to kill his enemies. He looking to offer kindness. You catch something? You see when you first learn to descend, friends? You see when you're looking to grab power? Remember when Abishai said, let me cut that dog head off. He said, you put back your sword. Touch God, not anointing. He put up Abner. Abner, he saw your God and God king. The man who's sleeping there to get up in the morning to come and hunt him down, to kill him. He upholding and pulling up the king guard, you know. You know what he's saying? He's paying the man life so the man will get a chance to kill him in the morning. He trying to tell the man, God is working better than that. If he's a deacon, hold your post correctly. Oh my. But what kind of man this man was? He's a man after God's own heart, friends. He wasn't that man for fame and popularity and those things. No. He was a servant first. He learned to serve Saul. The same man we were serving. He got like Elisha, porting him to Elijah. David Kiam, Saul armor. See, people are like people that walk around when time has come. When you serve and you humble yourself, God raised up Elisha and gave him Elijah robe. Is that right? God raised up David and gave him the throne Saul had. Is that right? Joshua around Moses. Is that right? Then God raised up Joshua and put him in Moses' stead. That's God's way, friends. That's God's way. But they are humble and serve. But that people are down there and just want that. And they try to ascend without descending. Oh, I feel there's a good message this morning. I feel there's a word and a place. I feel there's the one needed to follow love, faith, fellowship, and thanksgiving. Humility. If this church have love and faith, if this church have forgiveness, and if this church have thanksgiving, and if this church have humility, what am I trying to teach you? That other church falls and this church, right? What am I trying to teach you inside of here? You listen while I'm teaching inside of here? You see what I'm trying to point you? To walk with God? That's right, friend. Sometimes people sit down here and that word is go for like that and other people just come and destabilize the faith and manipulate the mind. And they can't see. Look at the purity. Look at what unadulterated. Look at the motive and the objectives behind the word to bring the people to Jesus Christ and into a union with Him. That's right. And the king said, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. David didn't know that. This boy was still alive. Remember David and Jonathan were friends, eh? Because in 1 Samuel 20, David had made a covenant with Jonathan. Jonathan made David swear and take an oath. And there's something a covenant. He said, you come into power, my father is trying to kill you right now, and I know my father wrong. He said, but the thing is, you're going to come into power because we believe what Samuel said, he's the prophet of God. And we see the anointing on you, and you're the man who delivers Israel, and all Israel happens to follow you. But these men, Abner and Saul and them, Eli and them, follow you. See, all man want control and political power among the people.
So watch. So there now, David now, he don't know that, but God had established covenant between David and Jonathan. And Jonathan said, when you come into power, and God is going to cut off everything and set this kingdom straight, he said, you spare my seed, my house, please. Don't exterminate them. And he said, swear to me. You find in 1 Samuel 24, to follow the continuity of that. So that is where now, this is years after, long after Jonathan had died. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodibah. It means with no pastures, without pastures. Where he is? In Lodibah. Cripple, down in Lodibah. Then the King David sent. You hear how it's written, you know? All the time it changed from David now to King David, you know? Because now the scriptures unfolding a mystery here to you. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibah. Why is he taking him out of? He has a plan for this boy's life. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. The boy crippled in both feet. And yet when he comes in the presence of the king, who sent for him, and who called him out of Lodibah, where he was, while his father's house and his grandfather's house had come down to almost nothing and extinct. Here he, one of the last remnants of that house, he comes now in the presence of the king. And he falls on his face and did reverent. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, behold thy servant. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4 tell you that when after how he get lame, his nurse was running and fleeing with him, and he fell out of her hand and became lame. When Mephibosheth means extermination of the idols. That's a great thing. And David said unto him, fear not. We could see the boy was shaking. Would he judge me? Did he call him to judge me? I stand before the king, the one God's anointed, the one my father was a friend of, and my grandfather hate this man. This boy was a prince. His father was a prince, his grandfather was a king. This boy was from a royal house. But now the kingdom of his father, grandfather, had come to naught. And here was God's true anointed standing there, and he was trembling. And David said, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh my. Are you seeing something there? You can see the mystery of Christ. If you read the scripture and don't see Jesus Christ in it, go back and read it. David was Christ, friends. Here we were, but in the whole house, amen, of the human race, fallen, rejected, cursed by God, but in sickness and death laying there. But here is the King, the Beloved. Amen. And he is coming now in his kingdom. But look at him. He's looking now. He's remembering his covenant. He's remembering there could be some seed there. And when he finds out that Jonathan, the one he had a covenant with, had a son there, and that son was still alive, and that son, brother, was laying out there, Saul's inheritance had gone, had been forfeited. Because he said, I will restore you Saul's inheritance. This man was living in the house of Machir. He was like somebody putting him up and feeding him and clothing him. Gayano family did it for him. The servant who is to take care of some land come and say, yeah, that, you have a son, you know, one son remain. Mephibosheth, he's down in that house. And that man, Mashir, son of Amiel, in that house there. He says, what? I make a covenant with Jonathan, who loved me beyond the love of a woman, and loved me as his own soul, the Bible says. He said, I swear to him, I will not cut off his seed. He said, here now, I am my kingdom here. I'm going to have to bring him and change his position. Friends, that is what this sinner was. That is what we was. Outside the economy of God, outside Jerusalem, outside the city of the king. Amen. Where the king is in all his glory, sitting in Jerusalem, in the midst of his people. Amen. The anointed king, the one from Judah, the one who born in Bethlehem. Hallelujah! The one who they tried to persecute and reject. Who came so low down in the cave of Adullam. No, he's the anointed king. You are going to play mad and crazy sometime. Even among the Philistines and everybody else. Because Saul hunted him. He owned church people. He owned church brothers. Hunted him down day and night. But because of the mighty man who was around him. Amen. Anointed with his desire. Who understood something. But it came to them troublous, perilous times. But now the word, the anointed word is coming to power. And instead of looking for revenge, he's looking to display kindness and love and mercy. Hallelujah! And he remember his covenant. And he said, go and get him. And this boy coming in now, out of nothing, under this new ministry now, of this anointed one. But he's coming to get full restoration of all inheritance. He's coming in to eat at the king table, to have communion with the king. He's coming out of the house where somebody putting him up, and he get at the lodging, and he had a beer with him down there. And now he's coming to become as one of the king's own son. After Joseph came out of prison, he was made Pharaoh's son. After he said, we prisoners become prisoners of Christ, we become his sons. Now watch this here now. And David said, verse 7, let the musicians come for me. For I will surely show thee kindness. For Jonathan thy father's sake, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh man, the best of the wheat in all Bethlehem, the best of the water, the best of the wine. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such as a dead dog as I am? Man fall on his face, reverence the king. He says, a dead dog. My father house and my grandfather house under wrath. The judgment, the sword, the great house and all the great estates gone. All the inheritance forfeited. We have poverty. We take our lodging down here. I come from a kingly royal house. When Adam threw the whole kingdom into chaos, we should cover our royal house. We're born here and we're subject to sickness and we cripple up and everything else. Is that right? Oh my. And brother, here we have no continuing city. We go from pillar to post. Amen. But then one day, the beloved. Oh my, the king himself, the one that born in Bethlehem, the anointed one, the God chosen, the one after God's own heart. Hallelujah! After the executed righteous sentence, oh my, after the sword went forth to clean up the land of all those who tried to win another popularity, who compromised, who refused to kill everything. Who tried to fight the true word? Look at him. He's going out there now in kindness. He sought for him and he found him. The king sought for him and found him. Then the king separated him from no pastures. Lodibah. And bring him into Jerusalem, into the city of the great king. Heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, city of the living God, where the glory and the presence of the great king is here in this city that is built four square, spirits of just men made perfect, innumerable company of saints, where the voice of the blood speaking better things. Where there's worship and praise. Where there's psalms and spiritual songs written by the inspiration of David. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. And brought into the room, and then he brought into the very presence of the king. And he brought to the very table the place of fellowship, the place of communion with the king. This, friends, is what grace is. God giveth grace to the humble. This is the action. This is the operation of grace towards the alienated, towards the lost sinner this morning. You might be drifting through life, crippled up, can't walk properly, can't stand on the promises of God, can't walk straight. But you can have humility in your heart. The Syrophoenician woman say, "I'm a dog. I will not eat the dog, the crumbs that fall from the master table." Yea, Lord. Say, "Yea, Lord. I will indeed eat the crumbs." And anger, resentment. And she said, "Anger, you get out of my life. Resentment, you are conquered. Anger, you are conquered. I put you under my feet." Yea, Lord. Humility, come forth. Humility, reverence, come forth. "I'm a dead dog." She said, "I'm a dog too." He said, "For the same." What do you say? I go back in that church. They talk to me. What do you say? What do you say? "He who first descend, he who come down from his glory." What condescension. What condescension in the dark of night, when there was not one faint hope in sight. Oh, glorious mystery. The sacrifice of Calvary. Stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. And oh, how I love him. And oh, how I adore him. My breast, my sunshine, mine all in all. The great Redeemer became my Savior. The great Creator. And now I know, thou art the great I am. Mephibosheth humbled himself in the presence of the king. And he called himself a dead dog. And the king said, "Restoration for all your inheritance." The king said, "Continual communion for you at my table, feeding on this 7-course menu and this royal wine in my royal cup. And you will dwell in Jerusalem." Lodibah is not the place for you. And then so "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And verse 13 says, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did it continually at the king's table." Think of it, friends. The king's presence in the king's city and feasting at the king's table to have communion with the king as one of the king's sons. A man who was without no pasture. He was led into green pastures. He was brought into the presence of the great shepherd who had laid down his life for the sheep. The shepherd who had become king. To sit at the table and to feast with the sweet psalms that the king had written and the music played on the harp that the king had made. And there in the presence of the king in Jerusalem, in the city of peace, Jerusalem, in the city of truth, in Jerusalem. And there he was. In the city of the great king. Is that what happened to us? We are out in the wilderness, out in the deserts out there. Out in the dry, parched places. In a dry and thirsty land where there no water is. But he sent for us. And he found us. And he fetched us. And he took us out. And he didn't give us a better house than we was in. No, he brought us into his presence. In his city. To be at his table. To feast with him as one of his own sons. Because he remembered his covenant. And he wanted to show to us the kindness of God. Look where you're sending to. He rose up from that floor saying, I'm a dog. I'm a dead dog. Come and see here. Is he going to kill me? What's going to happen here? The father's house is going to be poor. We have nothing against. We had this time. I hide down the house down there by this man with medical lodging. No friends. That's grace. Moses humbled himself as exalted. David humbled himself. I was exalted to the throne. Joseph humbled himself. As when the prison was exalted, to be governor of all the land of Egypt. Mephibosheth humbled himself. I was raised up in such a great place. God took a prophet that had good education. Humbled himself. Didn't try to be put on anything. Didn't try to go and make no name for himself. Didn't try to go out there and fight everybody. He tried to present Jesus Christ. And God was pleased with him. And God loved him. And everything that tried to rise up against him, God cut off. That's a story, friends, all through the Bible. Man in the word image in Eden, having dominion. Then man born by sex in a sinful nature. Shut up in the prison of sin and sickness and death. And nature wrath. But then God come down. Deliver man from that prison by a new birth. And raise him in the heavenly place in Christ. Place with all position. Place in position with all power and authority. Look at the church where it was. Perfect love. No fear. No sin could stand among them. Nothing. All things in common. That nice year old, it began to fall. Went deep down the dark ages, but it began to ascend. In Luther, in the horse and buggy, in Wesley, in the motor car, in the Pentecostals, in the aeroplane. What's happening? It began to ascend. And then, under this last day message, the astronaut age, it began to ascend with a rapture in faith, with a power to lift the church off the earth, friends. That God is exalting this bride in this hour. This is the hour of her exaltation. This is the age of the restoration. This is the message that takes us back to the faith civilization. This is the breaking of the new day, the shalom, and the conjunction. This is that time, friends. And so what is happening in our lives? Think it not strange. It's so beautiful. He's stripping everything away. You must descend first. Don't try to ascend. You should have the Korah. You should have the Uzziah. You should have the Lucifer. You should have the Absalom. All through the Bible, you can see those who try to ascend. Look at Paul trying to ascend with political power. God slap him off the horse and bring him down to the dust. Blind! And then, out in the desert of Arabia, God began to raise him back up. And he was caught up into the third heaven and sought not even lawful to speak. Is that right? When they rejected that prophet in this day, God, while they put him down and humiliate him and everything else, And he humbled himself and took the form of a servant. I would still say, my precious brother. And say, draw the sickle and put me out. I draw a bigger sickle and bring you back in. And stood in the waters of the trees. And they tried to say, make a denomination. Make yourself something. No. He said, I brought my fruit to the cross. Point people to Jesus Christ. He said, Tony, there's only one thing I know. To point them to that bloody footprints. That's going to take them over into that other land. Can you feel what I'm feeling this morning? Have you fellowship? Have you drunk deep from this cup this morning? To descend. He who first descended, that he might ascend. Some of you in your ascent, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings of an eagle. Is that right? Elijah went them so low, running from Jezebel and everything else, nervous and neurotic. But then God met him, cake and water, feed him, new commission, and then raised him up into glory straight off the very earth. That's our God, friends. That's the God in this Bible. I want to serve with all my heart. I believe we see God unveiled to us out of the scriptures, out of the pages. We see what he intends for our lives to be. We don't want to. We see the example he gave us. The greatest example of humility was our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and sing Down from His Glory. He came down. Went right down to the very pits of hell. Opened the prison doors and led captive the captive. In this dark age, he's come down again. After another 2,000 years, he come down again. In Noah's day, he came down, pick up that humble farmer, raised him above the flood, and over into the new world. He rested on Mount Ararat, where he came out and saw the whole new world. And he went forth and made his altar to offer sacrifice and thanksgiving, burnt offerings, and the glory of God moved forth in that rainbow. Second 2,000 years, Noah, the real Noah, rest and comfort, come down. Take man who was shut up in the old birth, like Noah took them out of the old world to bring him into a new world. He took them out of the old birth to bring him into a new birth. They were shut up in the prison, kept shut up, Galatians says, under a sinful nature. Humble yourself today under the mighty hand of God. God always loves the humble because he's humble. Do have no false humility like Absalom and all his guile and people playing humble and no friends. Be genuine in your heart. How could you sit under the word like this? So clear to you, so lovely. And this till 2,000 years, when it's all dark again, the Lord himself has descended again. And he found the people and he break them, many of them. And now he's raising them back up. Raising them back up. Every tree comes this winter, friend. Somebody like, all your leaves gone, you die, your life gone. Everything you had. He gives him identification. Some fruit, some shade, some bark is all gone. You seem so naked and bare, so destitute. But then that sun comes along a second time. And there's a promise of springtime. And the life is made anew again. And it begins to bloom anew. And it begins to raise back up. Look at Job. Where he went down so low. Lost everything. But in the end, look how God raised him back up. Isn't he wonderful? He had to break many of us. But that's the tender hand of Jehovah, my brother. My sister, that's the tender hand of God. He had to let us see things of our own selves many a times. He had to cut it out of us. It doesn't change who you are. You are his son and his daughter. He wants to bring you out of Lodibar. He wants to bring you to Jerusalem. He wants to bring you to his presence. He wants to bring you among his people. He wants to bring you at his table. He wants to feast with him continually. He wants to be as one of his own this morning. Do not turn that down, my brother, my sister, whoever you are this morning. Receive that. That's Jesus Christ's free gift to you. As we sing sweetly, reverently, down from His glory, honoring this great one, and with this great desire in our heart to be a more humble people. If my people who is called by my name shall humble themselves, amen, and confess their sins and pray and look to heaven expecting, I will hear an answer from heaven. I will heal them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my, what a God we serve this morning. Blessed be His wonderful name. And Jesus was His name. He was born in a manger. And to His own, He was a stranger. That's our Lord Jesus we are singing about. A man of sorrows. Man of tears and agony. Do you love Him? Do you love Him this morning? You're singing, oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I love Him and how I adore Him. Is He your breath? Is He your sunshine, the light of your life? Don't just come and stand here, just kneel at His altar. Just you pray, you talk to yourself, you're a believer. The great became my Savior. And all God's fullness. Dwell it in Him. What condescension. Think about it. Look where He came from. Look how high He came. Look how low He came. For you and me, my brother, my sister. Bringing us redemption. That in the dead of night. It was so dark in my life. I didn't know where I was going. Just drifting aimlessly. Not one faint hope in sight. I can remember that so clear back in Santa Cruz, 1973. Then one night, out of the darkness, God gracious, tender. Oh my, and oh how I love Him for that tonight, this morning. And I just want to lift my voice, lift my hands and praise Him. And I just want to tell Him, I want to give my whole life to Him. And ever live for Him and serve Him and be the prisoner of His love. That He will bind you in the chains of His word today. And make me a love slave. Lock them in His prison. Take away my will and my right. Shave it off, Lord. Then bring me into Your presence. Oh, my God. Became my Savior. And all God's fullness. That's right. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Him. There was no reluctance. Without reluctance. Like little Isaac. He laid up his life. Was bound by his father and put in the altar.
He took the form of man, God, from spirit to man and morphe. Because in the back part of his mind, that lamb had been slain before the foundation of the world. Revealed a hidden plan. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glorious mystery. Hallelujah. Sacrifice of Calvary. And now as I stand here worshiping, now I know thou art the great. I am. Don't make you just love him a little more this morning. How I love. Oh, won't you adore him? Come, let us adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. Oh, thank you, Lord. This great creator. Became my Savior. Hallelujah. And all God's fullness. Oh, one more time. What condescension. He came so low, friends. He humbled himself. He was obedient unto death, took the form of a servant, made himself of no reputation. I was obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Not one faithful inside. It was all lost. No man could get clean, think I was unclean. But then he came. Then Jesus came. God gracious, tender. He laid aside all that splendor, all that worship of seraphims and cherubims, all that glory of heaven. Stooping to woe. Coming up so low to become a foot was flunky. To show us how to humble ourselves that we might be exalted in due time. Oh, and oh, how I love him. All around the building, all in the rooms, wherever you are. All on the outside, wherever you are. In one voice, in one praise, with one heart and soul. Let's magnify the King. Hallelujah. Lean on the great creator. Became my Savior. And all God's fullness. And all that God was poured in Christ, all that Christ was poured in the church. And here she stands today, God in us. God who was above us. God with us. And God in us. God's great mystery of love express. God and man was one back there, and God and man is one back here in this hour. Oh, friends, love slaves, prisoners of Jesus Christ. Like Joseph was stripped, but then brought into the presence of his King, where he got power, he could bind and loose. Oh my, what a great God! What a great God! He could save, he could deliver, he could redeem, he could comfort, he could preserve life. Could be a redeemer, he could be an intercessor, could be a provider.
a little Elohim like Abraham was. Hallelujah. Amateur redeemers, amateur intercessors, amateur gods, the anointed ones, the messiahs of the last day. A super race, a super church. God raised up. As we bow our hearts and close our eyes, I'm going to read a little quote of the humble ourselves. He said, you know, people want power. And really, they do not know what power is. They don't really know what goes with it. The way up is down. If you want power, see how humble you can get. Just get away from all your worldly thinking and humble yourself before God. Let us all do that today. And then you've got more power than the man that runs all over the building and makes a big lot of noise. See? Because you've been able to conquer yourself and commit yourself to Christ. You see? To humble yourself before Him, that's real power. You show me a church that humble. Real humble. Not an arrogant church. Just a humble, sweet church. I'll show you a church that has the favor and power of God in it. That's right. That's the thing it takes. Humility. Humbling ourselves before God. And letting God just work through us. Don't have to make a lot of noise. Sometimes the farmer said, he went out to the field with his wagon. And every time he hit a bump, he just rattled and went on. But when he came back, he hit the same bump and didn't make no noise at all because he was loaded with good things. So I think that just about right that we get filled up with the good things of God, that the fruit of the Spirit might be known to us. As he referred so much in 1 Corinthians 13, though I give my body to be burned and have all these things and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, we want to do that. Above all things, it's our individual souls that we are responding for God. It's you going to heaven. It isn't when I go or he goes. It's you going. And you first. And you've got to look this out and come sweet before the Lord. I've always found out that a man that humbles himself is a man that God exalts. And when you take a person with his chest out, knows everything, and you can't tell him nothing, and he's arrogant, then that's the person that never gets anywhere. But you take the person that humbles himself and walks sweetly. Amen. Would you bow our hearts like in Bible, Samuel Johnson can pray. And let's all pray that God give us this humility, that our Jesus Christ expressed so clearly as example for us. And in this last day revealing of the Son of Man, we saw a man with such power, such favor before God, so many gifts, and he was such a humble man, such a yielded, simple, honest, sincere vessel, a chosen vessel that bore God's name, a light that shone in every Gentile nation. And here we are today, my brother, my sister, standing here, knowing we must first descend that he might ascend. And Christ in you is giving you power to lay your life down. And Christ in you will raise you up into that very position where you can manifest the fullness of the blessing that goes with that position. The same God in you causing to descend first that you might ascend. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who had a clean hands and pure heart. Let's today take a deep look at this, and as we stand reverent, let's think of Mephibosheth. It was the king who desired to show kindness. It was the king who was searching out. It was the king who found him. It was the king who fetched him. It was the king who brought him. It was the king who restored his goods. It was the king who gave him the place at his table. It was the king who made him to dwell in Jerusalem. It was the king who made him as one of his own sons. Because the king remembered his covenant. That's what he's doing for us, my brother, my sister. Why don't you let go? Would you, sinner friend? Why won't you let go today? Come from Lodibar.
There's no past again. That's the condition of the sinner. That's what he is. That's where he is. He's in a place with no pasture before he's fetched. But then he's brought into Jerusalem to feast with the king, to become the king's son. Because of a covenant the king will not break. That's what we will face. It's God's free gift to you, my brother, my sister. Receive that today, would you? Let us bow our hearts and unite our faith with our brother. Let us all pray as he would believe in prayer. And may we find this great grace and faith that things can be settled today. All these things that God has been giving to us, which is so needful for us at this time.
Lord Jesus, Father, we bow our hearts before your great throne. We humble our hearts before you, God. How you have allowed your servant, God, into the realm of revelation this morning, God, to bring this picture to us, heart, that causes to search our hearts deep, God. Because we want to please you, Father. To see this big picture this morning, God. That we could look in all the corners, Father. In all the crevices of our lives, dear God. That we could find grace, God. In a time when grace is given, Father. In a time when love is expressed, God. Truly love has projected this morning, God. Your prophet tells us, God, that when love projects, grace takes over, God. Unmerited favor, Father. To think that we were all in Lodabar, God. To think that we were all in that place, God. And then the tender hand of Jehovah reached down, God, recognized our condition, Father, and has brought us out, God, through these divinely revealed mystery truths, God. We didn't know, Father, with our own way, God, in our own place, God, with our own will, Father, and our own thoughts, God, thinking we're doing the right thing, Father. But when your grace, God, and your love, Father, and your mercy, God, came down to us as God, you came to us, God, when we couldn't come to where you are, you came to us. Oh, God, it make us consider our littleness this morning.
Yes, Jesus.
It make us look at ourselves in the way you want to see us, Father.
Jesus.
Not our own thoughts, God. Not our better way of judgment, Father. But God, to look sanely and intelligently through the eyes of the scriptures, God, and identify us, Father, in your great economy, God. That we could come to that place, God, that is allow us by your grace, Father. Oh, God, to see the side of this big picture in Joseph, God. To see the prison, God. Lord, to see the pit, Father. To see him stripped, God. To see him laughed at, God. To see names called, Father. And then to see that day, God, when your grace, Father, brought him out of the prison, God.
Jesus.
And shave him, Father. And put him in the rightful place, God. And he could execute the vision, Father. To be identifying your great economy by your grace. Truly, he didn't have nothing to do with it, God, is what you've done.
Yes.
That is what we're so thankful for this morning, Father.
Hallelujah.
What you've done, God. What you said you will do. What you come among us, Father. How you vindicated us, Lord God. How you take your word, Father. How you humble your servant, Lord. How you strengthen him, Father. How you keep him in the faith, in the place, the attitude, dear God, that your spirit could come and have the preeminence, God, in this great revelation. That we could stand today, God, recognizing who we are. Oh, God, being known as we are known in the big vision.
Yes,
we are happy today, God, to see you work with us through the years, Father. To see the places you pass us, dear God.
Hallelujah.
To see the scriptures you reveal, Father.
Oh,
to see the understanding
God.
You give them, dear God.
Jesus.
To see the light that you shone in our pathway. That we could walk in this light, dear God. In humility and reverence. God, the two wings covering our feet, two covering our faces.
Hallelujah.
Two ready to fly as we consider our littleness in your great presence. Oh God, may this great example that is before us become so visible that each one, oh God, is in the midst, God, could see the tender mercies and the loving kindness of your great grace that has made these things so available to us, that can transform us and change us and bring us into your image, into the place, God, that you call us to be in these last days, to be identified in the prophecies. We love you, Jesus. We know, God, that is not in our doing, Father, but what you have already done, just as your promise. Truly, oh God, we thank you for everything.
Thank
our
you.
Heart is full of thanksgiving this morning as we see your great grace towards
us.
God. Towards the people, God, who are all in Lodabar. Would you call us out, Father?
Hallelujah.
Bring us to sit at the king's table.
Thank you, Lord.
That we could partake, Lord, in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of the king's meat. Hallelujah. We can dwell there, God. You can deal with us and help us and strengthen us and give us the nutrients, Father. We could be strong to meet the challenge of the hour. Oh God, your children, Lord, kneel at the altar this time, Father. Lord God, as your word has dealt with all of us today,
Jesus.
They too, God, just constrain your seat, Father. They came up to be identified, God. Humble themselves at your throne. May
Jesus.
You, God, look at them in a special way this morning, God.
May you grant it, Lord.
May you touch every heart, God.
Grant
maybe
Jesus.
They have special need, dear God,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Maybe battles and the enemy, oh God, hold them,
God.
But there's a great God who see and who know and who understand and who care.
Hallelujah.
Because of your promise and your covenant. Would you touch every heart and give them their desire, for you did say in your word, he that put their delight in the Lord, you will grant the desires of their hearts. Oh God, touch them now as they kneel there. Fix it, God. Strengthen them in the inner man. Make the vision more plain, God. Lead them in a plain path, Lord. Have your way today, God. Oh God, and they that can't get a hold of the faith. The sick ones among us too, Father. Lord, the weak ones, dear God. Lord, the ones, God, that is not the real God. May your great Holy Spirit bring these things so clear, so real, so visible, dear God, that all of us, dear Father, will be ready and prepared, Lord, to meet you. Have your way, God, and continue to bless your servant and strengthen him, God, and anoint him, Father, and keep him in this great faith which you reveal to us. We know it's not him, it's you, God. We know it's more than a man, Father. Your great grace towards us. Truly, the revelation of the word of God. We thank you today. You come with power to transform. Because we so yielded, Father.
Yes.
That you would have your way and you would have your preeminence. That we continue to yield ourselves today, God. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, God.
Thank you.
We Lord. Praise your
thank
name.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless your name, God.
Hallelujah.
We glorify
thank
your holy
you,
name. We bless
hallelujah,
your matchless name. All
hallelujah,
praise
hallelujah,
to thee.
Hallelujah.
All honor, all glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise
thank
God.
You,
all honor and glory.
Thank you,
forever
Jesus.
And ever. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Could we have our hands on the building and give God thanks? Yes, tell him thanks. Lord, we thank you. In everything, give him thanks, friends. Be thankful when he's blessed you. Be thankful when he has spoken to you expressly. Be thankful when you see what he wants to do for you. Be thankful when you see his grace and his mercy so richly and freely given unto us. Be thankful when you come so close to us. We thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now turn around and greet your brother and sister and tell them God bless them, stranger and visitor. Let's greet everyone. Amen. By God's grace. I just want to sing a little song. Do you know grace? I was down so low as one could go to see where God sometimes went. He can reach down his hand and raise us back up. So low as one could go. Then you begin to ascend, raise you up, and become his very bride. You can have a seat. Just push a little bit. Let's have the chorus. Do you know grace? You know grace. Amazing grace. Have you heard this morning? How sweet the sound of grace. Amen. How sweet the sound. Oh, there are many dangers. There are many dangers. Tall and scared. Oh, we have already come. Look at that low place. Look where you came from. And look where you are, friends. Do you know me? Amen. I was dumb as low as one could go. I was dumb as low as one could go. I had no strength of my own. All my everything I worked for. All my life. Everything I love was gone. Was gone. All the lowest valley of my life. Like Mephibosheth, I would flatten my face. Oh my. But then King David, the great hand of Jesus, reached down and he picked me up. I'm so great. Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, worship him and praise him this morning. Be full of thanksgiving to him. How sweet the sound. Hallelujah. When it comes time, and that time has come, friends, for him to take his bride. Oh my, to that evergreen shore. Green shore. And he chooses you and I. He chooses you and I. Oh, to live in that land. Oh, just think about it. When we've been here 10,000 years. And you see me in that place. Oh my, you can ask me this question. And I'll say yes. I remember grace. I remember when he reached up his hand and raised me up. Oh, I know grace. If you know grace, you see it. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord. How sweet the song. Amen. There are many dangers.
Many dangers,
cause that's yes, we've already come. Oh, look where you came from, and look where you are. Do you know? Oh, look where you came from. You're sitting here clothed. The beautiful gown of the promised word. The marriage certificate. The wedding band of unmerited grace. And his name sealed in your forehead. You came from. And where you are. And I'll ask you. Do you know? Oh my, isn't he wonderful? You know, I know we're supposed to have a little meeting for the Thanksgiving service, but I just feel to sing one little more song here. When he reached down his hand for me, one of my old time favorites. Amen. When he lifted my feet, begin to raise me back up, sang so low. That's why I love him. That's why I live for him. Live or die, single or swim, friend or no friend. Whatever it takes, no matter what it costs, I want my life to be expressed to this world that I love him. Amen. Because he first loved me. Amen. I give my life to him. But more than this, I give it to him. This is what I have, and I give it to him unreservedly. Now I want to influence you. Do the same if you have not done that. And if you are a stranger and a visitor, if you are a sinner and never made a decision to be baptized in his name. Oh my, can't you see this in religion, friends? This ain't some denominational program. Can't you see the word? Can't you see the Jesus Christ? Can't you see the presence? Can't you see the reality of God? Can't you see this enlightenment and show us how to live and how to walk? And give us a hope and show us our future and show us how to travel that road to get there by the grace of God. Oh my. Once my soul was astray. Shut and vow as could be, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy and love. Oh, when he reached out his hand, he's reaching out his hand for you. Take it from him today freely. He's given it to you without money, without price. Oh, when he reached out his hand,
reach down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand.
I was near in despair, without hope. All hope seemed gone. And when he came to me there, like he came walking in the water in the fourth watch of the night. Come in there, sister. And he showed me. Come in that dark prison and open the prison doors.
Could be free. And he lifted my feet, gave me glory complete.
Let's sing the next verse. How my heart doth rejoice.
How my heart doth rejoice.
Since I made my choice, make it yours today. Put him first in your life. Give him that best place in your life. Let him rule in the throne of your heart.
And now I flee. Now I lean on his hand. I'm secure from all harm.
Since he reached out his hand. If you straight away get back to your first love, remember from when you have fallen. When he reached out his hand to you, can you remember that night, that day, that place when Jesus came to you, when he touched your life, when he called you from a life of sin, when he offered you a pardon written by his own blood, when you followed him in the waters of baptism and you promised to live for him? If you have failed that, come back to him this morning. Turn back around. Mark this spot here today. Give your life back to him. And promise never to turn away from him no more. Hallelujah.
With our God or his son. God his hand.
Oh, and since the Lord gave me peace, let the storm blow how they want. Let the people say what they want. The world is falling apart, but the Lord gave me peace. Oh, my heavenly choice. Oh, to you stalwarts who have stayed faithful, who have stayed true to his word, may he ever bless you and give you a charge of the Holy Spirit. And you burst the faith and you burst the joy in your life, that you can rise up and be the standard in this hour, to be his ambassador, to shine the light to the dying world, that they can know he lives when they see you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Reach down his hand.
Come on, sisters, you sing it when you reach down his hand. Look where you took Mary Magdalene from. Look where you took the woman of well from. Look where you took the woman in Simon's house who washed his feet in a tear. Look where you took her from. Look where he took you from, my sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Little lilies coming from the muck and the mud. The mud and clay. To shine with his glory. To honor him with your praise in this hour. Lovely, isn't he altogether lovely? My young brothers, my young sisters, when you're in God's presence like this, this is the time you worship unto the Lord. Give me the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill me the Holy Spirit. You know, sit down there and get your mind to say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. Make a real man out of me. Make a real woman out of me. Let me know your will, Lord. Let my life have meaning and purpose. Let my life be blessed. Let my life be accepted. Don't just, no, you get in when the Holy Spirit, when the grace of God is coming. Say, Lord, let me be a servant of yours in this hour. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Make yourself real to me, oh God. Give me strength. So I don't just live anyhow. So Lord, I live close to you. I reflect you, oh God. That's the way you want to be, my brother, my sister. And God will respect you. He the Bible says, remember your creating days of youth. He took little Samuel. He took young David. He took young Joseph, 17 years. Young Samuel, a little boy, a little child. He took young David, 17 years. Let me call him in the youth, friends. Oh my, this is the same God. The same God. You think I came to God as an old man? Oh, I had a riotous life, sure. But I came to God as a young man. 21, good, I'm 22. And I saw him. Oh, my, when I was 18 years, I was hungry and thirsty. We began to comb this country back and forth, trying to find it.
making plans to go to Tibet in the Himalaya mountains to find it. And then one day that grace came when I was so low down. Today I'm so thankful to know Him, because He gave me courage to go through life. His presence and His promise, His love and His grace, His tender mercies. I make my mistakes and failures now. I say, God, how could you put up with me? God, I feel, you know, so just a poor representative of yours. That's the truth. As a result of a failure, like I read here, He became a failure in that prison. He became a non-effect inside that prison. Being stripped of God. God bring him down to a place until there's self-crucifixion. There's no ability to depend upon, nothing to rely upon. They're only in the hold to God's word. And the word was trying him. But there was an appointed time when God was going to start to bring him out. And bring him out of the prison. And bring him out of the prison clothes. And bring him out of among all them evil natures. And then God began to wash. And then God began to shave. And then God began to clothe. And then God began to place with authority. And then God began to honor. And then God began to magnify. Oh my. Isn't that wonderful?